about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, can I talk? Can I have some of my time? Because there's something I really want to tell you.
Okay.
Let's start here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What up, Kevin DeBean? It's Dewan from Los Angeles, California. 1, 2. Let me see the Tootsie Roll. Come on, the Tootsie Roll. That's like a Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll to the left. To the left. To the left. To the left. To the right. To the right. To the right. To the right. Now front. 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 To the left. To the left. To the left. To the left. To the back, to the back, to the back, to the back. All right, recognize me. Peace out.
And now,
oh my God. What just happened?
Our feature presentation.
I don't know, but I feel like I should be dancing.
I think you should.
to the left. When you hear that, somebody should be doing something.
I hadn't heard Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California doing the Tootsie Roll in years until I came across that tape recently.
I
love it.
It's been a long time. I forgot it existed.
Does Dewan not call the Afro line anymore?
He does occasionally.
Okay.
But he's got Twitter now, so I think that's where he goes most of the time.
Yeah, he usually is one who is, he does not mind sharing his opinion on what's going on with the world.
Is that true, Dewan?
Nope.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show, 5:33, and it's Wednesday, the 3rd of Double December.
Look, hear my whole thing, Kevin. Don't make me stay up till freaking 10 p.m. if you're going to be competent. That's a big waste of my time. It's a big waste of America's time. Don't be on TV and be competent because we can do nothing with that.
Yeah. It went pretty well.
That's what I mean, I did not stay up. Sorry. Yeah, but I got several texts from friends who said, it went pretty well.
What's more boring than that?
My thing was, I don't want to ruin it and I don't want to have a moment with Kevin. That's all I could. Like, I just wanted to make sure that didn't happen. I didn't care if people were bored. That had nothing to do with it.
If you have good questions or not, just no moments.
Exactly.
Just like last time you hosted, we're talking about Kevin on the TV last night on FX's Anarchy Afterward. It's the live post-recap show after Sons of Anarchy. And just like last time, my DVR cut off, so I have no idea how much I missed.
Oh.
How long did the show go? How long after it was supposed to end did it go? Do you know?
I don't know. I thought we had a pretty hard out at 10:41
or something.
45.
Yeah.
So it was right then, 45:46, I think.
Well, wherever it ran out, I missed it. Unless you spectacularly flamed out at the end, I guess you'd have to say it was a pretty successful night then.
I didn't, I'm happy to say.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
You did it,
Kevin. Well done
indeed.
You did it, Kevin. Exactly. All right. We got a big, big, big show, including a superstar guest that's going to join us at 6 a.m., if you can believe that. We'll tell you about that in a minute. But first, here's a story I think you'll find interesting. I don't know if we've ever done this topic before, but we take you to Clemson University, which is where, Lisa? Is that South Carolina?
I think so.
Clemson. I want to say.
No idea.
I should know that just from college football, but I think it's South Carolina. Anyway. Hi, my name is Jake Stewart. I'm a 21-year-old college student at Clemson. This past Friday night, I went out with some friends to the bar, and besides my better judgment, I had too many drinks. I mistakenly left my tab open all night.
Nice.
Oh, no.
When I went back to the bar the next morning to retrieve my credit card, I was shocked to see a $7,966 charge to my tab.
I don't know what the rules are about that, but shouldn't somebody have checked with the owner of that card, like,
yes,
you know, 2 hours in?
Yeah.
Yes. I would think, and this as this story unfolds, we'll see where it's going, but I would think that there is some responsibility after a certain dollar amount for somebody at the bar to kind of double check that this person is, the card's not stolen,
right,
and that this person is sober enough to be allowing that many people to buy drinks, because this has got to be unusual at a bar, right?
7,000.
966, almost $8,000. It upsets me that an entire bar would take advantage of an open tab and not one person was willing to pay for their own drinks. I'm also surprised that nobody stepped up and pointed out that it was wrong and, in fact, stealing. Over the course of the night, I personally spent $53 on my own drinks.
Wow.
Taking responsibility for that, I am trying to raise the remaining $7,913 to help pay for the bar tab. Any kind of goodwill would be greatly appreciated. So he started a GoFundMe page. His name is Jake, by the way. Okay. So in an interview, he said that it was all true. He said it was not just a BSer taking advantage of a crowdfunding site with a poor me. I was so drunk, he said. It was just a regular Friday night with the boys out. I just happened to black out. I remember I was taken home early, but it was a crowded bar, and I totally forgot to grab my credit card. Before the night out, we had pre-gamed real hard at my buddy's house. How did the word get out that your tab was open to other people? Well, I bought one drink for this girl at one point earlier in the night. Rumor has it that she was the one who spread the word. Of course, she's denied it profusely since then. It was only me and two other friends, and they didn't realize it was happening until they heard about it around 3 a.m.
So she went around the bar and said, "Hey, everybody,
well,
the tab's open."
That's one scenario. Yeah. Hey, that dude left. We've got his credit card.
She's a bitch.
How much did you tip? Did the bar add a tip on for you?
Oh, good question. I don't know what they do in the bar.
There was no tip added since I explained what happened and they completely understood that I didn't need any more money taken from me. It sounds like he's answering the question after he'd gone in the next day and discussed the bar tab with him. I don't know what ended up happening that night before they realized that it was
right.
Did you file a police report? Would you have thought of that, by the way?
No.
Or would you just say, boy, am I a stupido?
I don't
Against
know.
Who?
Well, first of all, I don't use the word stupido.
Well, that's because you're not bilingual like
true.
I am, Kevin.
That is true.
If you spoke the Spanish, you would understand what that means.
I don't know, because they didn't break a law, did they?
Unless,
I would have.
It's sort of fraud. It's fraud. There's some negligence involved, I think, on the bar. Look, the guy's a doofus, but there's some negligence, and his friends are a-holes. But I feel like the bar at some point should have, like we said earlier.
But isn't that more of a lawsuit than a police report?
Yeah,
probably
thing.
So.
I don't know that I would have called the police.
Yeah,
probably so. No, of course, that was my initial reaction. I honestly decided to use GoFundMe instead just to see what would happen. I've donated to some other causes on the site, and I thought it would be easier, quicker, and more painless a way to get my money back. I know that it can be an extremely long process dealing with a credit card. Has anyone offered to help you pay around the campus? Not yet. The buzz has gone around. Of course, it's more of a funny joke to other college students. I aim to get the word out to those out of college who would actually have the money to donate. So anyway, so that's where he's at. He's got a GoFundMe site. He's trying to raise the money because I guess he just doesn't have $8,000. But I don't know that we've ever done that phone topic before where somebody charges something to your credit card beyond, a stranger stealing it.
Taking
advantage of, like, you give them a credit card to go buy one thing and they come back with who knows what. So good times.
Good times indeed.
Wow.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Please tell us that story and spare no detail.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Can I hear that again, please, Lisa? We also have the dude that was eaten by a snake, which Lisa's very excited about.
I do not like this dude.
I hate him, too.
Yeah.
Eaten Alive is the name of it on Discover.
He forced himself to a snake. Let's be honest.
He did.
I'm just sad that it was snake versus human and the human won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I draw the line just above snakes.
Why screw with it? That's a dick move. That's
fun.
What I'm saying.
Fun. Party. We have some more Miss Double December contestants, as the pageant, by the way, is day after tomorrow, Friday. So we're going to continue that. We have Gabriel Iglesias and tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And just after 6, Bean just made a mention of it, we are actually going to talk to The Edge.
Yay!
From U2.
All right.
Very excited about that. Yeah. We have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about that deal?
You too. How's that going?
With the thing where you're going to do the deal.
Right. With the guy.
With
the guy.
So we're going to talk to him just after 6 and get all those answers. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Heavy rain's headed towards California on Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. It's going to bring up to 30-plus millimeters of rain, especially in Los Angeles, California.
Yesterday.
And in Southern California, it's going to be a lot of rain.
Okay.
In the state of California,
yesterday.
Including San Francisco and Sacramento, California as well. Since the low pressure system's going to get pretty close to the state of California, that's going to bring a lot of rain, especially in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014.
Yesterday.
It's going to bring heavy downpours. It's going to cause some flooding. It's going to be a lot of puddles in the streets in Los Angeles.
I think finally the news has found a way to make the news more, you know, the weather more panic-inducing.
A lot of frame! A lot of frame! What, there's going to be a lot of frame? I don't even know what frame is. I'm paralyzed with fear. I didn't know frame was coming. Rain
doesn't sound
is
like
bad
something
enough.
You want running down from the sky, that's for sure.
Rain is bad enough, but when you start getting frame...
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's trouble. Hey, Ralph Garman,
hey,
what's going on
Dean
on this
Baxter? How you
Wednesday
doing
morning?
There, Skippy? How's everything up there on the island?
We're fine.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
All right,
just as usual. Just counting them down. We only have 10 new shows left in 2014, you guys.
I don't think that's nearly enough. Let's extend.
10 shows.
Let's extend
everyone,
the run.
Everyone is just going to be chock full of just precious little minutes.
Right through the end of the year, Ralph?
Gold. Straight
through.
Let's
just keep going.
I like it.
I think the people deserve it. They deserve us all year long.
Not all of them.
Come on, people, now. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news since we're here anyway. Boy, just when you think the Cosby story couldn't get any worse. Yesterday.
That's every day.
I know, but it gets worse every day.
What happened yesterday?
The latest is from a woman who is 55 years old, filed suit yesterday in L.A. Superior Court. Now, this is the first time I've heard of one of the alleged victims actually filing suit. There's a lot of people coming forward and telling their story, but she filed a suit yesterday in L.A. Superior Court. As I imagine, it's a civil suit, but she is claiming that Bill Cosby molested her in a bedroom at the Playboy Mansion when she was just 15 years old.
Wow.
Suing for sexual battery and infliction of emotional distress, she claims that she and another girl had multiple alcoholic beverages after they accepted an invitation to meet with Cosby at a tennis club. He reportedly told the pair they had a surprise for them, took them from the tennis club to the Playboy Mansion, saying, should anyone ask them, they should say they were 19. And then when he plied them with alcohol, he allegedly forced himself sexually on this woman. Judy Huth is her name. In the lawsuit, Judy says the resulting traumatic incident left her psychologically and emotionally scarred, and she has suffered damages that are substantial and continuing, and I'm sure there's a price tag that comes with those, but if this indeed is the case, I mean, it just got worse from adult women to children. So
how do you, not at all to doubt her story, but how do you prove something that happened in 1974?
Well, if there was indeed another woman involved, like she said, she's got a pretty good witness if there was another girl that also came along.
Okay.
So I would think that would give her...
You know, of course, she had her reasons, and as you said, Ralph, there was a lot of trauma associated with the incident. But, man, I wish she would have come forward before the statute of limitations ran out.
Yeah.
This could have been a whole different scenario if Bill Cosby would have been arrested and sent to jail back then.
But here's the thing. You're 15 years old. He's Bill Cosby.
Of course. Yeah.
And I think a lot of these women, and we're finding it out since there seems to be a snowball effect, are empowered by other women stepping forward and finally giving their stories. And these women are... in many cases, have put this behind them, and then this will bring up a flood of memories and emotions and feelings that they feel at this point now they need to get out in front of, and so that's why they come forward with these stories.
Well, I hope it's making them feel better by doing it.
I do, too.
I hope it's a load off. Lisa, when are you going to tell your story about being assaulted by Mr. Cosby?
You know, I
mean, every woman has one.
I feel like...
I saw the traffic girl, and that's when I gave her a pudding pop.
It did start with pudding. That's all I'm going to say.
Started ended with pudding, too.
Yeah.
Ended with a golden pylon. That's what I call the sex move. Takes place in the jacuzzi.
Burt Reynolds is telling everyone who will listen that he's not broke. That's why he's selling everything he owns.
Wait, you said
not
he was
downsizing?
Broke.
He's down. Exactly, Lisa.
Like
he's
people
downsizing.
Do when they get older.
He told Entertainment Tonight yesterday he's not broke. I'm simply selling some of my memorabilia that I've enjoyed for so many years, but do not have use nor room for them anymore. Frankly, I am sick of so many pictures of myself in my own home. The matter of the fact is, I am just time to downsize.
Well, I hope that's true.
I hope it's true, too.
I mean, look, he's... how old is he? In his late 70s?
Boy, I couldn't tell you, but I would have to guess yes.
Yeah. I mean, what does he need with all that memorabilia hanging around? Why not have the money and blow it?
That's what I keep telling Adam West, and he won't listen to me.
Yep, absolutely. What are you saving it for, Adam?
Sell me your stuff.
You want everything he has.
That's right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Ozzy Osbourne celebrates his 66th birthday today. Happy birthday, Ozzy. Actress Daryl Hannah is 54. Julianne Moore is also 54 years old today. Brendan Fraser, he is 46 years old. Anna Chomsky. Oh, how I love Anna Chomsky. She, of course, from Veep. Ow. Mm-hmm. Ow. Ah, my leg just came off. My big leg just dropped off.
What just happened? I was just moving. The bell had some paperwork around it. I was moving it, and that started a chain reaction of other things in the room. So.
And then being hit his head on a radiator.
Anyone? He fainted.
Anna Chomsky from Veep, who's soon going to be on Broadway in You Can't Take It With You.
Oh, wow.
34 years old today. And Amanda Seyfried, my old co-star from The Million Ways to Die in the West, soon to be seen in TED 2. She is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When we all woke up on Monday morning, the 17th of November, we heard about an accident involving a bicycle and the lead singer of U2, Bono, the night before in Central Park. And we were all very concerned, like, what's going on with our man? What does it mean for Acoustic Christmas? What does it mean for the band? How's he doing? We have so many questions. There's been a lot of speculation since then, but not many answers until now. We thought, who better to answer these questions than Bono's bandmate and best friend for the last 40 years? The Edge joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, sir. How are you? Good morning. Thanks for the time.
I am great, and I'm very happy to be on the show. And it's a bit early for you guys, but...
We're good.
Even earlier for you, The Edge.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the most important thing, and that is, how's Bono? What can you tell us?
He's doing well. I mean, this guy does not do anything by halves. You know, I come off a bicycle, I'm going to end up with a grazed knee and an elbow. He managed to come out of it with what you could only describe as like injuries from a car crash. You know, literally multiple fractures of bones in his elbow and his back, but he's doing okay. You know, we're kind of lucky he was wearing a helmet, so he didn't actually break Central Park.
Right.
But he's made of tough stuff, and he's bouncing back. He's so upset about the fact that, unfortunately, as we're about to announce, we're not going to be able to do the Acoustic Christmas because he's been told by his doctors he's got to stay put. He's back in Dublin right now, and he's basically got a, you know, he can't move for the next couple of months.
Mm. What happened that night in Central Park? Do you know?
It was the morning, and he basically, I mean, you know, he it's part of the thing he does to stay in shape, and he was just, it was a Sunday, a lot of people in the park, and he just wasn't paying enough attention, was going fast down a bit of a hill, and somebody came out onto the cycleway. He swerved to avoid them and just went straight over the handlebars. So it was one of those, you know, things I guess could happen to anybody.
Not to make light of his injuries at all, but a lot of people, Central Park, Sunday, one of the most famous people in the world wipes out on a bike. How did no one take a picture of it with their phone or whatever? That seems to be immediate these days.
Yeah, well, you know, Bono likes, when he's going cycling, he likes to dress up as a Hasidic Jew. So
I see.
I think that probably helped.
What was involved? And we have many more questions about the tour and what's next for you two. But just because we've heard so little details about the accident, what was involved in the surgeries that he had? We heard there were 5 hours of surgery that day.
Yeah, I mean, the poor guy. He basically, his left elbow was shattered. So a lot of the work was reconstructing the joint and, you know, putting in wires and plates. And I mean, he actually showed us an X-ray a couple of days later, and it looked like a miniature of the Eiffel Tower was in his elbow. And then the same had to happen with a fracture of his pinky. There was the joint there was totally messed up. So that needed a bone graft. And then the most vulnerable is actually his upper back, the scapula, because they couldn't put any plates in there, or they decided not to do surgery. So he has basically got to be very still and not move around until that's really healed. So that's a big part.
That's the opposite of everything that Bono wants to do with his life, isn't it? Is stay still.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a challenge. But you know, he's made of tough stuff. He's doing physio to keep the joint active twice a day. He's so upset about the Acoustic Christmas. We were so looking forward to it, and
I know he was, and we've had, you know, we talked to him the morning we made the announcement, and he, you know, he kind of spoke for the band and said, look, K-Rock was there from the beginning. You're one of the first two radio stations to ever play us in America, and you've always supported us, and we can't wait to do it. And it's kind of such a culmination for us. You know, the 25th year of Acoustic Christmas, we thought, what better way to end that weekend than with the biggest band in the world and the band we played more than any other over these years. I mean, it was just perfect symmetry. But we also completely understand it. Ed, you got to know, and you've heard, you know, nothing but questions every day since it happened. Our listeners, you know, they've been calling us and they're like, when are you going to know? When are you going to make an announcement? We're like, look, we have no idea what's going on. It's just a question of how well they're feeling. And I'm sure if they can play, they will play. If anyone could play, it would be you guys. I know that you would do it if there was any possible way, but it just doesn't make any sense for you.
It's just impossible that he can't do anything. You know, we just, we did this thing the other night in New York, and we had to cancel or almost cancel that. And in the last minute, we got some other singers to step in. But, you know, the Acoustic Christmas is a full U2 show. It's not like one or two songs.
Right, and exactly.
We don't want to be doing, you can't have somebody fronting U2 for a whole show. That would be completely ridiculous.
By the way, you just threw out, like, other singers. Chris Martin and Bruce Springsteen.
not a bad bench. How's that a throwaway?
Well, you know, it was an amazing experience, but it did feel a little bit like you were cheating on Bono, I have to be honest.
Totally. How often have you done that where you have played without Bono?
Never.
Never, right?
It's never happened.
Wow.
And it's not an experience I want to repeat again. But, you know, this was a big charity thing, and Times Square was shut down for the night. So Kanye West was also playing with us, and Carrie Underwood.
Right.
So, we were just part of the night. And
it was a great event. It was so much fun, and I urge everybody to watch it and make a donation to the Red Charity that you guys have been so supportive over the years for World AIDS Days while you're out there. It was a great, great event.
Yeah.
So what's the recovery period like, and when do you think you guys will be able to perform again in 2015?
Well, that's the other thing that I came to the call with was some good news.
All right.
And the good news is, and this is a scoop for you guys on K-Rock, no one else knows this in the world yet, talking to Bono's doctors, they're very confident that he'll be up and about in time for the U2 tour, which we want to announce right now. We're basically from May, we were going to be hitting the road. Maybe that's actually a bad term right now.
Yeah, maybe don't say that.
we'll be on the road from May. We're doing shows in North America, Canada, and the United States, and Europe, 19 cities, and it's the first time in a decade that we're going to be playing indoors. And we decided after the size of the 360 outdoor production that we couldn't really go any bigger, so we've decided to take it smaller. So we're going indoors, and we're going to do something intimate and different. And we got a lot of interesting things planned, but we're basically, the tickets are going to go on sale December 8th, and it's all the information will be on our website and the Live Nation's website, so if people want to find out about the itinerary, they can get online.
I see Los Angeles dates, May 26, 27, 30, and 31 at the Forum.
Yes.
I find it comical that you call the Forum intimate. You're the only band that can say that.
I know. Well, you know, we have a lot of things planned that will make it intimate. You know, it's part of how you present, you know, yourselves, and we have some very interesting ideas for how this show will go. And one of the most unusual things that we're doing that we've never done, I don't know if anyone else has, but we're going to be doing shows on consecutive nights that are quite different. And, you know, they work perfectly as a U2 show. So I'm not saying that we have to take in two nights. But for people who do go to consecutive nights, they're going to get a very different show. And they're loosely around the theme of Innocence and Experience, which is the name of the tour, U2 Innocence and Experience Tour.
It must be fun to have such a great backlog that you can choose from and make the nights different.
Yeah, we are in that unique position of having a lot of albums, a lot of songs to choose from. We're very excited about the new album, and we're so delighted that the narrative around the album is now focused on the music itself and no longer on the delivery method.
Right.
And K-Rock and your support has been huge. You know, the fact that you're playing The Miracle of Joey Ramone kind of so much, and even like Songs of Innocence or Every Breaking Wave, Song for Someone. It's just phenomenal. And we just heard that Rolling Stone have made their album of the year.
They did.
We're just so high on the
for a bunch of old blokes. You got to feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah, well, that's about the old blokes. But yeah, we still feel like those 21-year-olds who just heard that their first single has been played on K-Rock. It really feels that way to us. So it just means an awful lot.
This is the voice of the
Edge.
Go ahead. I was going to say the same thing you were, so go ahead.
The Edge is on the phone here. The Kevin Edge Show just announcing the U2 Innocence and Experience Tour 2015. 19 cities confirmed in Europe and North America. Tickets are going on sale December the 8th. You can go to U2.com or LiveNation.com. Again, 4 dates at the end of May at the Forum. I want to ask you one more question, The Edge, before we let you go, because I know you got a press conference to get to. And this is a question that we asked Bono when he was on as we announced Acoustic Christmas. And that is, speaking of Rolling Stone magazine, they came out and said they've done the research and U2 has been together longer than any other band alive today. Whoa. With original members. And it's so amazing to think almost 40 years later, you guys are still friends and still working together to make great music. What's the secret, do you think, that no other band has ever been able to do this?
I think you've said it. You know, the friendships is what binds us together. And I noticed Roger Daltrey saying recently that his band The Who, that he's going to be a member of The Who till he dies. That's sort of his kind of realization,
right?
Which is a powerful thing to say. I would say that if you two ended tomorrow, the friendships that exist within the band would still go. You know, would still be going. So it's sort of similar, but there's another thing that's very strong amongst us and keeps us together as a band, and it's still, you know, we are best friends. We still are.
That's beautiful.
Actually, the tour photograph. I want to say one thing. Bono's on the heavy painkillers right now.
Sure.
Injuries. I'm getting a little concerned. He's enjoying them too much. And an example of why this is possibly the case is that he got us to agree last night to using a photograph for the tour announcement of the four of us in bed together. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's definitely going to raise a few eyebrows.
Sounds like the relationship's going in some new and exciting directions for you too. All right. Well, we'll let you get to it. So sorry to hear the news that you will not be joining us on December 14th at Acoustic Christmas, and I know you are as well. But thank you so much for coming on and explaining it and announcing the tour. And we've really enjoyed talking to you. And I hope we'll see you again soon. Okay, man.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. Bye, bye, sir. We appreciate it.
I didn't hang up on him.
No, you did not.
Right. Well done. Hey, we need to mention, for legal reasons, by the way, in the unlikely event that there's anybody who goes, well, that's it, why bother going? Refunds are available. If the reason you were going to night number two, if you're lucky enough to have bought tickets and you were going just because you love U2, I get that. I still think the rest of the night is worth seeing. But in the event that you decide you want a refund, refunds will be available through Ticketmaster.com. Must be submitted to Ticketmaster.com no later than Friday, December the 12th. And again, we'll have that information up, as well as all the details about the U2 tour at KRock.com. It's the return of our friend Fluffy. Just after 7 o'clock this morning, comedian Gabriel Iglesias will be joining us in studio. Also, the man who will be eaten alive on the Discovery Channel by an anaconda on the show tonight, or excuse me, on the show today, and our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who just co-wrote a Christmas song with The Killers.
He's He'll a new member of The Killers.
As a matter of fact, he has joined The Killers. So all that coming up this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, so we just talked to The Edge from U2, and now it's time to talk about farts. Because that's how we roll.
Radio Whiplash! I don't know anything about anything, and I know even less than that about this, about the process involved in how to make your farts smell something different. I mean, obviously, whatever's coming out, whatever's going in is reflected in how it smells coming out. But this is a scientist in France who apparently, his name is Christian Ponchevel. He's 65 years old, and he has invented a whole bunch of different pills, Lisa, where you can make your farts smell like different things.
That is amazing.
They have a pill for roses. They have a pill for violets. And now chocolate.
Wow.
And now chocolate. So if you want your farts to smell like chocolate, this is the man that you need to talk to. So we thought, hey, Producer Dave, we have to talk to Mr. Ponchevel. And he joins us on the phone right now here on Q-Rock. Hi, Christian. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you two today?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm also good. They're a mix for all of us having good time.
How did you get involved in the kind of research that would lead to this invention?
Well, first of all, the French know something about stinking.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And the farts, the stinky poo-poo farts.
Right.
That smell is so bad.
Right.
That come from the anus.
Sure.
You familiar? Anus?
What?
Yes. From the butt. Yeah, from
B-hole.
The butt. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Your beehole.
I think we all understand the concept of farting. You're past
well, I don't know how advanced you are in the world of farts.
All right, so beehole, good.
The air comes out of there.
Right, we know.
And then it smells poo-poo.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay? We're on the same page.
I think,
now.
Yeah, we all got that.
We all started there, if you don't mind my saying.
Well, the poo-poo farts of mine were so smelly.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So horribly tear-inducingly stinky.
Right.
That even for a Frenchman, I said, that stinks.
It's just too much.
I mean, and I have been in Paris in August.
Yeah.
With a body odor of a million Frenchmen just rising off of them with lines like from a cartoon.
So you know what you're talking about.
I said, this fart, poopoo fart, is stinky.
Right.
This poopoo fart smells like the hallway at K-Rock.
Understood. It smells bad.
How do you know that?
Oh, it's legendary.
Oh, really?
The poopoo smell of your studio.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. So I noticed the different things I ate change the fragrance of the poop of fart.
Can we just call it fart, if you don't mind?
Okay, American, I'll do everything your way.
Thank you.
That's how we like it. You have to rule the world.
That's how we like it.
So you've come up with a pill that reduces intestinal gas and bloating, and you put ingredients together that can, I mean, you can basically customize what the odor will smell like.
Oh, you too are a fart scientist, I can see.
No, we just
know exactly what the how to do it.
Well, we read the article about you and about you.
I find that hard to believe.
Your invention.
That you read the article. But yes, if depending on what you put in the capsule, it can change the odor of your poopoo farts.
Okay. All right, just farts. And chocolate, has that one proven popular? Are you selling a lot of that?
Oh, this time of year, especially this and Valentine's Day.
What?
Well, the ladies love
it. Really?
Nothing says I love you like just ripping one in your girlfriend's face after you take my capsule, make your poo-poo.
This is extremely unpleasant, if I can say, Christian.
Make your poo-poo.
Yes, your poo-poo farts. Oh, come on. Look, I think we've driven the point home enough without the sound effects.
Sorry, I laughed so hard. I had poo-poo fart come out.
Okay, so you can go to P-I-L-U-L.
Hang on, please.
Yeah.
Hold, please.
Mm. Oh, it's like being a thief candy.
I doubt that, but okay.
It's like a Hershey bar in my...
Christian, you okay? You there? Hello? Mr. Poicheval?
Yes, it's like a Hershey bar.
Right. Yes, it is.
Oh, look, chocolate. Real chocolate in my pants.
Oh,
no, that's not chocolate.
Oh, that's too bad. So Dave, the King of Mexico, just walks in and says, hey, the Edge called back.
Uh-oh. Why? What did we offend?
Right.
Did we upset
do,
him?
Kevin?
No, we didn't upset him. Nope, he wasn't mad at all. He just forgot to mention that although they did have to cancel Acoustic Christmas, which I imagine is not a surprise to anybody who's been following the news, that when they come to town in May, they're going to do something special for K-Rock and for the K-Rock listeners. So he wanted to mention that. He forgot to bring it up.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
All right, let's talk Miss Double D, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk, Miss Double D. We're going to be broadcasting live on Friday from Fullerton, our friends down there at the Slide Bar. And I know this isn't the point of the whole day, but they've got a great turkey burger. And I do look forward to that every year.
What?
I'm just saying, the Slide Bar, they have a terrific turkey burger. So if you're coming down on Friday, that's something you ought to eye on the menu. I'm just saying, it's
most
great.
Most people, the turkey burger is way far down on the list of things they're excited about for Friday.
It's number one on my list of the things that I'm most looking forward to. But we are going to be broadcasting live from the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Live webcast at krock.com if you're not able to be there. If you are able to be there, I would say get there early. It fills up fast. First come, first serve. 21 and up. Doing Toys for Tatas again this year. Asking you to bring a new unwrapped toy that you can give to the United States Marine Corps that is down there. And they do phenomenal work this time of year, helping out little kids for Christmas. So come for the Double D, stay for the party. All the details at krock.com. And you should be voting at krock.com once per day for the candidate of your choice. You can find all the finalists up there at krock.com and see who you would like to represent the show as Miss Double December 2015.
Now, speaking of Miss Double December, we do have a new song from a fantastic artist that goes by the name of... Sam.
not the Sam I'm thinking of, though, right? I hope somebody else. This is a new, fresh, exciting talent named Sam?
Yeah. Armenian
not
comedian.
The old and busted. Oh, no, not the Armenian
comedian.
Come on.
Has
Why
done
do you do this
because
again?
Because his Thanksgiving song was genius.
Hi, Sam.
Good morning, brothers.
Wow. Good morning, what?
Brothers, I think.
Brothers.
Oh, brothers.
Brothers.
Okay. Your studio cohort in crime, DJ Omar Khan, is also in studio. Heyo.
Hey, what's happening?
How did this one come about?
During the recording process of the Thanksgiving song, he did such a great job that I begged Sam to record a Double D song because I thought it would be great because of the greatness of the Thanksgiving one. So,
so this is on you then.
This is on me.
Okay.
And I just let him loose. And,
right.
You know, the thing with Sam is that song structure, rhyming, that's not an issue with him. He's such an artist, and he's so, ahead of everybody else.
Right.
You know, a song is, you know, usually verse, chorus, verse.
And well, yeah, it's been that way forever.
Right. Sam scoffs at that.
Yeah.
There's no, he just free flows. And I just, now, try, I'm the producer in the back. I'm just trying to kind of like.
Just
you know,
try to capture it all. Just try to get the
exactly,
magic down on tape.
Absolutely.
You're not
right.
Just the producer, though.
On this one, you know,
he's
you're
an
okay.
Enabler.
No, even worse.
Well,
or better.
I was listening to the track, and I think, I could add something. Remember, you know, when Timbaland worked with Justin Timberlake on Sexy Back, that song, like,
sure.
10 years ago?
Yeah.
And Timbaland was all, yeah! That's all he did?
Right.
Okay. Okay. So I just kind of added my little flavor to this song, and I thought it made it a little bit better. Yeah.
So Omar is the backup background singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Can we not hear it though? Is it possible we can just imagine it? I mean, do we have to play it?
You're gonna love it, Bean.
All right. Let me ask Sam this question before we drop that and get the world premiere nonsense up for us.
Oh, we got it up.
Mr. Armenian comedian, you still there?
Yes.
All right. I want to hear about your inspiration for this. Omar just kind of sprung it on you in the studio that he wanted you to do a song. But did you have some passionate feelings about boobs that you wanted to get into your lyrics?
You know what? It's just that I have to do for you guys because I'm a married man and I can't even sing for another lady. But for you brothers, I had to.
Wow.
I'm not sure that was responsive, but what do you think of boobs, Sam? Are you a breast man or more of an ass man or what?
No, I'm a belly man.
A belly man.
Does that mean belly dancing? Or you're attracted just to the belly?
Yeah, the way they shake their belly and,
you're going to love beer mug. All right. So anything else you want us to know about this song before we world premiere it here on K-Rock, Sam?
I just want to be on the stage.
Oh, you want to perform this Friday?
Yes.
We'll have that conversation in about a minute and a half.
Begin sequence. Now, a K-Rock world premiere. K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
The way you look, you seduce me.
Oh, you seduce me, baby.
Your hair and your eyes, it matches together.
Together.
Your nose and lips are
smooch your buzz. So when I dream of kissing and hugging you, you are just there.
Just there.
And I am here.
Here.
So please.
Please.
You know what you got.
You know what you got.
So share all those to me and not for others. Oh. Ooh, baby. I just love your double D. It makes me tingle in my panty. Oh, baby, you're so hot.
Hot.
Oh, baby, your breasts are so adorable to kiss and with your nipples.
Nipples.
I want to lick you all your kiss your body. Not A, not B, not C, but double D.
No.
Best song ever?
Sam, was it really tingling in your panty?
Sam? He's listening to himself on the radio.
Oh, of course he is.
We've told him 3,000 times to not listen to the radio because there's a delay. Sam, are you there?
You dumbass.
What's wrong with him?
You dumbass. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
If you missed our interview with The Edge from U2 earlier this hour, you can go to krock.com and hear the whole story where he talks about Bono's horrific injuries in the Central Park accident, talks about how they're not going to be playing K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas, as Kevin pointed out. Probably not as a surprise to a lot of people who heard about how horrific those injuries were. And also plans for U2's World Tour in 2015. You can get all that at krock.com. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
There was a time on this radio program when we used to put together around this time of year, we would put out a holiday album, a Christmas album.
Right.
Yes.
And I was always enjoying those enormously, not because of the shenanigans that we would put on there, but we would invariably get K-Rock artists and stuff to do covers of Christmas songs or original Christmas songs for us.
Yeah, that was always great.
And I always missed having new Christmas music when we stopped doing those CDs. It turns out you, the listener, didn't because you stopped buying them. That's why we stopped making them. But I always missed it, and so that's why this caught my attention. You remember The Calling, the band The Calling? The smash hit song, Wherever You Will Go, which I just
love. That's right, yes.
It's a great tune. Wherever you will go.
Not striking a chord, but okay.
Oh, come on, Kevin!
All right, but continue.
Anyway, Alex Band. Half of that duo who put The Calling together, who was the voice of the band. He's got a new version of The Grinch out on YouTube that I've discovered this morning. And I thought it's really charming. So here's a little taste. Some new Christmas music from a K-Rock artist, Alex Band from The Calling, with his version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are here. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
It's no Armenian comedian.
No, well, who is?
Come on now.
But I really thought that was a cool guitar version of a Grinch. You can check that out at YouTube. You can get that if you're interested. Speaking of Christmas music, the list of the top 10 most popular Christmas songs of all time has been released. Look at Kevin. He's already shaking his head. He hates it because some of these songs are not from this week, Kevin. I'm sorry.
No, I hate... Okay.
What do you hate besides everything?
I don't hate everything. I like new music, and I like songs that have been recorded recently. But
we just played a brand new song from Alex Band.
Fine, I like that.
The Calling, Mr. Grinch.
But when you hear a song your entire life...
That's the beauty of these songs, Kevin.
Yeah, you don't really need to.
They carry with us not only the enjoyment of the song, but a lifetime of memories and good times that are associated with them.
Why does Kevin hate
good things? Here's your list. Top 10 most popular Christmas songs ever. You want to take a guess before we go? You want to play
White
our game
Christmas.
Before we go? White Christmas. Eighth on the list, Kevin. Eighth on the list.
Wow, it's finally starting to lose a little steam.
It is.
You know that
a lot
is.
Steam.
He knows the. Yeah, he
I'm
knows the history
that.
Of that song on the chart.
Last year was number two.
You know,
for
Night?
For for decades, White Christmas was the best-selling single in recorded history.
Really?
So it's very popular, yeah.
I thought Yesterday was.
No. Yesterday, no, was not.
All right. Easy.
Take it easy.
Snappy Joe.
No.
Right, first of all, Lisa, don't come at me with any of your religious songs.
There's nothing like that.
They're not going to make a cut. No.
All right.
Well, I know that the modern classic, the most popular Christmas song today is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas.
Number one. In the top 10 most popular Christmas songs, according to Billboard magazine. Number one, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Not in the top 10.
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, thank God, not in the top 10.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
No.
Okay. Little Drummer Boy.
Listen, God damn you.
Religious.
Start thinking popular music.
All right, Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock. There we go. Oh, Bobby Helm.
Now we're talking.
Number three. Now you're getting it. Now you know what I'm talking about.
All right. The Chipmunks Christmas song.
F them. Better not be on the list.
They didn't make the top 10.
That surprises me. That's still a thing, right?
It's still a thing, yes. Yeah, it's not a popular thing, apparently.
Shouldn't be.
Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. No.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Nope.
How do we come stop? On, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
I know the song is not on the list.
Santa Baby.
This is not the Christmas spirit.
Santa Baby.
No.
Come on. All right, we reject your list. Your
no,
list is stupid and dumb
it.
And absurd.
When you hear it, you'll say, oh, of course.
Ralph, we haven't come up with, what, six of them?
Yeah.
Come
seven.
On.
You're
seven
lacking
of them.
Seven.
Only missing seven.
We have three so far.
All right.
So we're out of time. I'm just going to run through them.
Okay.
Least to most. Number 10, Happy Christmas, The War Is Over, John Lennon. And so this is Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
And what have you done? I love that song.
Whatever.
Oh, Kevin.
Go ahead.
Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224 by this Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Blah. Blah.
That's a tremendous instrumental that you hear.
I hate the Trans-Siberian Orchestra so much.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Bean, can I hear your response again, please?
Blah.
I got one, Ralph.
I got one. Last Christmas.
Nope. Stop playing.
Last Christmas.
Stop playing. You suck. Stop playing.
How is Last Christmas not one of those popular Christmas songs?
Stop playing.
All right. I reject this list. I reject this list.
Finish the list.
It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams was seventh on the list.
Okay. Okay.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Let's assume we all know this song. You don't have to perform them.
Listen, you don't know any of these, so shut up.
But they're the 10 most popular, so after you say them, we'll know them.
Feliz Navidad.
Sure.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. And you think you know.
That's for you, Fluffy, if you're driving down here today. Mm-hmm. That one's for you. Feliz Navidad.
Number six. Number five. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the
great
year.
Burl Ives.
Great Burl Ives. Chestnuts roasting on an
Christmas
open
song.
Fire. Nat King Cole's a Christmas song. Yeah, it's called a Christmas song.
It's got Christmas
in
the title.
Right there. The Christmas song.
All right.
And lastly, number two. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee was the second most popular Christmas song.
Well, no wham, no peace, as far as I'm concerned. If Last Christmas is not on that list doesn't mean a damn thing.
You should take to the streets with that motto.
Yep.
No wham,
I
no
will.
Wham,
yes.
No peace. Just be marching
but
solo
you guys are
down
with
the
me,
road.
Right? There's no list without
cops
Last Christmas.
In riot gear waiting for him at the Capitol steps.
I think it's the top 10 of all time.
Can I also add, mother effers, Do They Know It's Christmas is not on that list?
Not a great Christmas song.
But a popular one.
Right, very popular. You hear it all the time, but not
for 30 years.
Popular, but apparently
for 30 years.
Popular.
However.
Yeah. Look, I hear you.
I hate you and I hate the list.
Yeah.
I take this very personally.
Lists are
look,
very
my
important
favorite
to being...
Christmas song of all time is Bing Crosby and David Bowie doing Little Drummer Boy. But that's not on the list. Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus Coming to Town, not on the list.
Little Drummer Boy sucks.
I don't like
what
it.
The
Little
what?
Little Drummer Boy can suck it.
David Bowie and Bing Crosby's duet of Little Drummer Boy,
suck
Peace
it.
On Earth, sucks?
Suck it.
I will fight you.
Why does Kevin hate
good things? In the spirit of Christmas, I will fight you right now over that song.
I wasn't expecting to get into a fight until Friday.
What do you want?
Before you close out the Showbiz Beat, let's open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a System of a Down fan, we are looking for you, and you want to win your way into night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, December 13th at the Forum. We're looking for System fans. Give you a chance to earn your way in at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game coming up after the news.
Dumb list.
Terrible list.
I will murder you for Christmas.
That,
my new Christmas song.
Write that and I'm in.
Put in some time for tomorrow. I want us to play the David Bowie Bing Crosby song.
So
and I want Kevin to tell us what he can possibly find objectionable about
so
it.
So good.
Because it couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, so good.
Little drummer boy.
Peace on earth, can it be?
Today's celebrity birthday, Ozzy Osbourne, 66 years old today. Daryl Hannah's 54, as is Julianne Moore. Brendan Fraser's 46 years old. Anna Chomsky turns 34. And Amanda Seyfried celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
1 hour ago, we talked to The Edge from the band U2, who made the official announcement that we all feared was coming, that the band is not going to be joining us on December 14th at the Forum for night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show. You can hear the entire interview and get refund details if you're crazy at krock.com. That is up there. Night number one is still going on with the original bands as planned. Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, Walk the Moon, and System of a Down. And Kevin, we've got a whole phone bank full of System of a Down fans. What are we doing here?
This is called I Scream, You Scream, We All Scream for System of a Down.
I scream, you scream.
System of a Down.
We may have lost Omar.
Wow.
We may have lost Omar.
All right. So we asked for System of a Down fans. That's what we've got on the phone. We're going to be playing a scream from a popular System of a Down song. All you have to do is tell us what the title of that song is. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins tickets. And, by the way, Bud Light backstage passes for night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Who's our first contestant?
Like 2 or 3 seconds long, but you have to tell us the song. They are all System songs. Anthony in Alhambra. Good morning.
Morning.
I am
Anthony. You really are a System fan? Usually System fans are a little more upbeat.
Sorry, I'm up your armor.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, listen up. We're going to playing it for him twice, Kevin?
Nope,
just
or
once.
Just once.
Just one
okay,
time.
Just to play it for you once, listen very carefully and identify this System song.
Chop Suey.
Chop Suey indeed.
Okay.
Nicely done.
You are in the drawing. Well done. Who's on line two?
Let's go to Upland and say good morning to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Tom.
Welcome to I Scream, You Scream, We All Scream for System of a Down. I'm not positive about that name, but that's what it is. Identify this song.
Oh, my God.
If you don't know, guess.
Sugar.
Sugar is right. How did you get that? Oh, I just hung up on him.
No.
Why would you do that?
It was an accident. I just hit the wrong button.
Oh, this wasn't Kevin's in a hurry?
Nope.
All right, please call Sorry. Back, sir. You are in the drawing to win the tickets.
Chris G. in West L.A.
How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
What was the last guy's name, by the way, just
yes,
for Lisa?
I need that.
She's doing the drawing.
guy who Kevin hung up on
right,
is his
then.
Name.
All right, guy who Kevin hung up
okay.
on.
Okay.
All right, are you ready, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Here's your scream. Identify the song.
Oh, my God.
What says Christmas more than that?
I love it. I'm so excited for System and Acoustic Christmas. They're going to be awesome. All right, Chris, what say you, sir?
Okay, let's say Toxicity.
Toxicity is right.
Toxicity is correct. Wow. By the way, we've played a lot of games for Acoustic Christmas tickets over the past couple weeks. The System fans are
yep.
bringing it here this morning.
They're on it. Let's go to another Chris in Lake Balboa. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Are you ready for your song?
Yes.
Well, your scream, here it is.
BYOB.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
He said that before it was over. It was a 2-second clip.
All right, you're in the drawing. All right, I'm very excited about Brian. Listen to this, you guys. We're playing a System of a Down game. We asked for System of a Down fans. Brian not only loves the band, he is in a System of a Down cover band. So he plays their music all the time. Is that right, Brian?
Well, it's so funny, people. Yeah, I am, in fact, in the cover band.
This is going to be so funny when you miss. I have every confidence in Brian. Brian, what do you play in the group?
It's nothing serious. It's just for fun, man. We've been doing it since sixth grade. I'm the singer.
You're the singer. Okay, well, you should certainly recognize this. So you name the song. We'll put you in the drawing. Good luck, sir.
That is really crappy, by the way.
That is Spiders. That is Spiders.
Oh, my God, man. I failed my life right now.
Hilariously, you are the only listener who didn't identify the System Scream, and you're in the System of a Down cover band. All right, Anthony, both Chris's and the guy that Kevin hung up on are all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets and Bud Light backstage passes to see System of a Down on night one. Who is it, Lisa?
It's the guy that Kevin hung up on.
Come on now.
I'm sorry. That's who I picked.
Thanks for playing. Call back.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Bakersfield, California, Gabriel
so self-conscious. I don't want anyone to smell me that I meet and all of a sudden have them say, Fluffy smell like ass. Hell no. I know, big guy. That's why I do double the maintenance. Twice the showers, twice the cologne, twice the deodorant, twice the powder. If I fart right now, this whole area will smell like cinnamon. I get inside of Walgreens, I don't even have a clue as to where to find a pregnancy test. I'm looking at all the aisles. They don't have one that says, oops. TMZ finds out I beat my son. Are you kidding me? They'll have me on TV the next day. Uh-oh. Looks like chocolate cake isn't the only thing he beats up. And for the record, I'm not fat. I'm fluffy.
Call him Gabriel. Call him Fluffy. All the ladies say,
oh, you're so sexy.
And that's all you need. Raise up your hands and do the Fluffy.
Do the Fluffy, indeed. He is the co-star of ABC's hit Friday night show called Christella, and he's one of the biggest stand-ups in the world, playing the Honda Center of Anaheim December 26th and the 27th and 28th at Nokia Theater in LA Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Fluffy here on the Kevin Beach Show. Gabriel Iglesias, how are you, sir?
I don't think you should start by calling him fat or big or whatever you said. Did you say big? One of the biggest comedians in
Not
the world?
Not like that. Popular, Kevin. Popular is what I meant.
Yeah. Right. I'll take either right now.
Okay. How you doing, Fluff? What have you been up to, man?
I'm doing great. Things are amazing right now. I have no room to complain.
You told us as you walked in during the song that you're on your way to TV and that you were recently invited to a meeting or about to be with a wardrobe consultant. Now, you've got a look that's been working pretty well for you. What's going on?
Well, you know what? They feel that maybe the shorts and the showing up to press with T-shirts and, you know, a little bit of wrinkledness to me isn't cutting it. They're like,
he dresses like you guys.
Yeah.
Just to point
like
out.
I'm ready for radio?
Yeah.
Exactly. You mean comfortable?
No, that's our faces, not our clothing.
We've had a few meetings like that, Kevin, because you and I are guys who wear shorts every day of the year. And a lot of times people say, maybe this isn't a shorts appropriate event. And we're like, yeah, but it's so comfortable.
I agree.
You're wearing an Amazing Spider-Man t-shirt.
Yes.
And you're going to Channel 5 next. Right? To do the morning news, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bring a change, or that's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
I love that.
That's what I'm going with.
They might not let you in.
You know, I've probably worn worse. On KTLA. Sam's pretty cool.
Now, since the last time we had you on, which was a couple of months ago to talk about the Fluffy movie coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, you were the victim of a death hoax. And I am so fascinated what that's like for the celebrity who wakes up to realize that they're dead. Please walk me through that.
You know, I think it's a crazy fantasy for everyone to want to attend their own funeral just to see who would be there and what they would say. And
oh, I knew it. Yeah. That guy never liked me.
So to be able to go online and see people writing comments like, rest in peace, you did so much for my family, thank you for all the laughs for all the years, and I'm just like, I'm still here.
A lot of positive response.
I'm reading it like, wow, I was so nice.
I put you in that situation. I'm waiting for a little bit just to get more praise.
Give it some time.
I, did, I just thought it was funny the fact that they killed me on Halloween. You know, and they said that he suffered from diabetes, and it was due to complications from diabetes. I'm like, really? You're going to kill the diabetic on Sugar Day?
Were you able to track down where the rumor started?
There was a site that started it, and I reposted it so that people would know that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that got a lot of attention, you know, so I it was flattering, but at the same time, I felt kind of bad because I know how I feel whenever I find out that somebody's died.
Right,
that
especially
I admire.
If it's somebody you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it was crazy. My friend called me up. He goes, dude, are you dead? I go, no. He goes, yeah, you would have texted me first. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm not proactive.
I like the question, though. Dude, are you dead?
Yeah, dude, are you dead?
I like that.
Now, I would think the biggest downside to something like that happening would be if actual friends or family hear about it first before they know for sure. And, I mean, that would be devastating for them.
It was out there, and funny enough, no family called.
No one.
Really? See, now that's a surprise to me because you're leaving behind probably a little bit of money. I'm just surprised.
Just a bit.
That, yeah, I'm so, a little bit surprised that people weren't all over that.
Family's like, you know, we saw it coming. Gotta be honest.
We told them.
Come back on the whole. It's gonna be on your headstone. We told them.
Are you personally offended that they would kill you off with diabetes when you have been eating so well for so long now and have lost so much weight? It's kind of a little bit unfair, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? It's one of those things that made it more believable. I think the fact that it was due to something that people know that I was dealing with,
right?
Then it made it seem more legit. Especially in the article, they interviewed fake people, which I thought was funny.
Really?
Like they interviewed my quote unquote sister. Maria Iglesias, age 42, really? Like, you know, I was like, I'm 38 and I caught up really quick.
So everything in the story was completely made up.
Everything was made up.
How many interviews did they have?
I think they had interviewed my fake sister and a fake friend.
Sweet. That's unbelievable.
But the way the article was written, you could tell that whoever wrote it has done this before.
Oh, okay.
Because it seems so like you're looking at all the details.
They knew
like,
what they were doing.
Yeah, it wasn't just, oh, the guy's dead and that's it. It was like very well written. And I'm like, okay.
All right, this site was called universalnoticias.org. And I bet what they do is they're literally just clickbait. That's all they're trying to do is get people to go to their site because they can sell advertising if they, for whatever reason, people go if they think there's a real news story there. So, I mean,
they just make stuff up.
They just make it up just because that's how they sell ads, I bet, it sounds like.
That's insane. I got over 21 million hits from that.
Wow.
21 million hits on my page from it.
Wow. Dude, maybe you should die.
Thanks.
That would be great for your career.
That's a big number.
Yeah. The best thing you ever did.
It was a pretty good publicity thing, but again, I don't like the fact that it was done that way. You know, I don't like making people feel bad.
Right, but you can get over that.
Well, I'm over it now.
Okay.
Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us. The Unity Through Laughter World Tour is coming back to Southern California on Friday, the day after Christmas, at the Honda Center in Anaheim. By the way, pretty short list of comedians that could play the Honda Center, right?
I believe so. I'm very fortunate.
Saturday and Sunday, December 27th and 28th, you're going to play at Nokia Theater at LA Live.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get tickets at AXS.com. We need to take a break. Gabriel, stick around for one more.
If the diabetes doesn't kill me first.
We'll be right back.
Was that My Chemical Romance we were
that
just playing?
That was My Chemical Romance. I'm not okay.
I missed that band.
I missed that band.
Mm. Hey, Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him. You love him. You can't get enough of him. He is Fluffy playing the Honda Center of Anaheim the day after Christmas and this Saturday and Sunday, December 27th and 28th at the Nokia Theater in L.A. Live. Tickets available now through AXS.com. Christella, congratulations, by the way. Picked up for a full season. You enjoying that?
Very much so. The fact that I get to, you know, be on an actual sitcom, this is like, it's amazing because, first of all, we didn't think the pilot would get picked up.
Right.
You know,
I would imagine every TV show going in goes, you know, who knows? Most pilots
the odds are against you,
up.
No matter who you are.
Yeah. Well, the odds were super. I mean, you got to figure we were going up against Kevin Hart, and there was another comic that, you know, is very, very popular who was, they were all in the running. And so the fact that Christella got the show was a big deal.
So you were excited then.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, when I got the phone call from her, she's like, you know, can you help me with the pilot? And I'm like, all right, I'm going with the pilot, and let's see what happens.
And you just figured that's it. Move on.
You tried. Over the years, you learn to not set your expectations too high, because right. then if you get excited over every single possibility, then you're just going to set yourself up for disappointment. So you just go yeah. in there with a realistic frame of mind that, right. hey, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't happen, well, you know, we gave it a shot. And it happened, and it was like, wow. You know, I got really, really amped up about it. And then when it got picked up for the full season, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. Two more months of work.
This is actually happening.
Why did they bother even changing your name to Alberto? Because you're clearly playing yourself. You're sitting around in a Hawaiian shirt watching TV and eating all day. That's all your character does.
Oh, yeah, she let me keep my own clothes. The wardrobe people are like, this is the easiest job ever. They're like, just show up.
Just come in with whatever you were going to wear.
That's hilarious.
Day.
You're like, all right. Fine
now,
with
let me ask you this, because you've been famous for a long time, but a certain kind of famous. The people, you know, lots of people know who you are, but not everybody does. Did you notice a difference once your face started being on a freaking network once a week?
Yes, because then they you get this look, and you could just tell. It's the same look you get when you know someone, but you haven't seen them in about, you know, 5 years. You're like,
right.
hey! And then you could see the wheel spinning like, yeah!
Where do I know this guy from? Uh-huh. Going through the Rolodex. Do they guess and you have to go, no.
Yeah, of course. I got to go through the whole ringer. You know, Carlos Mencia? No, no. No.
Then you tell them what you did and they go, nope, that's
no,
not
No, that's
I
not
knew.
It. Yeah.
No, I don't watch that. I don't know who you are. Yeah.
I saw you on HBO. Never done HBO. Shut up. It was HBO. I'm like, I guess it was HBO.
That's hilarious that people come up to you and think that you're George Lopez, by the way, or Carlos Mencia. That's hilarious to me because, newsflash, not all Mexicans look alike.
Yeah. But, some aren't even Mexicans.
Right.
But also seeing you out of that element, I mean, I see people all the time and I go, I do know that person.
Yeah.
I really just don't know where. I've just learned to not ask.
You might not know the name, but you recognize the face or maybe like,
I should know the name and I just keep that to myself.
Yeah, there's some people that don't know me as Gabriel Iglesias. They just know Fluffy. And right. I'm like, okay, I'll take that too. Whatever sure. works.
How long has it been since you had to open for someone, Fluffy?
Ooh,
years, right?
Wow, yeah, it's been quite some time. I can't even remember.
You can't remember?
Did you learn anything from being an opening actor, or anything you went through that has changed the way you treat your opening acts?
You know what? Sticking to your time. That was one thing I got grilled on early on was they gave you a certain amount of time. You got to respect that time. And regardless of how well you're doing during your set, you got to stick to that time.
Oh, so because if you feel like it's going great,
yeah.
you can't keep going.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
You're not the star. They're not there to see you. You got to prepare the crowd for who the star of the show is.
And, I always wonder how it works because you hear the stories like this with bands as well. You want an opening act that is compatible with you but isn't doing the same kind of material as you are.
Exactly.
But you don't want an opening act who blows the roof off the place either, right? I mean, is there some you kind of have to tamp down how good they are at a certain point?
You know what? I have a couple of opening acts on my show. One of the guys' name is Martin. He's been there since day one. He's, you know, he's a great MC and a, you know, great comic. And I have another guy on the show. His name is Rick Gutierrez, who is he's an animal. This guy can rip it apart for an hour, and he is very, very challenging. And I love the fact that he goes out there and riles up the crowd so much that it makes me step up my game. I can't just walk out there and assume that I'm going to have a good set. He makes me work every single night, so I appreciate that.
I wouldn't. I would want somebody bad.
Yes.
And then I look. Then I come out and do average, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, well, I guess that could work, too.
Lower your expectations. That's what you just told us in the last segment.
Lower your expectations as far as regular life is concerned.
I see.
But
okay.
And that keeps me sharp. That keeps me hungry every single night to go out on stage and give the best show, not just half-ass it.
Now, we've done April Foolishness, and we do it at pretty big venues. Tell me about playing a place like the Honda Center. Do you have to...
Playing an arena is insane. It's like WWE meets the Food Network.
But do you have to slow down a little bit because of the give and take of the crowd?
The timing is slightly off, so you just got to give them a chance to enjoy it and then keep going. You can't. It's not like being at the at a comedy club where you could just boom 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 boom. You got to give them a chance to laugh.
Did you learn that? Did it take you a while to learn that?
That did take a while to learn. It did because I was stepping on laughs. And when you're stepping on the laughs, then the show gets
they don't
the timing.
Hear what
yeah, the
just,
rhythm goes
yeah,
off. Yeah.
All thrown off.
Yeah. Let me ask, we're almost out of time here with Fluffy. And by the way, we want to give away a pair of tickets to, what show do we have? To the Nokia Theater show on December 28th. You can buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com right now, or you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show if you just want to call at 1-800-520-1067. You'd be caller 20, and you get to go see Fluffy on December 28th.
He's here's hysterical.
Here's the question I have for you. And that is the biggest comedians in the world who become television stars. You know the you know Jerry Seinfeld's of the world, the Bill Cosby's of the world. Those people, they still do stand up. They still want to do stand up.
Well, they're trying.
Is that you too?
Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Yeah, Bill Cosby may not the best example in this world, but you know what I mean. As much success as he had all those years on television, he still did the stage. And I'm just wondering, is that you, or are you looking forward to dialing back on the stage stuff once you get the more movies and TV shows going?
No, I will never stop being a comic. That's my number one passion, my number one love. I enjoy it. There's a lot of people that hate it. They don't like the road. They
a lot
don't
of people
like
hate the road.
I love the road.
You do.
I love it. I'm surrounded by
friends.
Why do
you hate your family?
I don't hate my family.
You just can't wait to get out of town.
Traveling, I mean, really, it sort of sucks now. How do you get...
Well, I'm on a very nice tour bus, and I have a really good travel group of people that put my travel together. So it's always nice.
All right. So you're at a point now where you can make it comfortable, where you don't have to be in like 10 cities and 10 nights, right? You can spread it out a little bit.
My agent would very much like it if I still pull that, did that run. But we try to space it out where it's 4 nights a week.
When do we get the private
plane? 3 days home, 4 days on the road.
When do we step up to the private plane? When does that happen?
I've done private.
Yes!
I've done private.
There we go. There's our boy. All right. Well, we're out of time, and we know you got to go do some TV since you're all fancy and dressed up for it, Fluffy. Cristela is very funny. It airs Friday nights at 8:30 on ABC. Gabriel is also going to be hosting the funniest commercials of the year on the Spike Channel on December the 18th, and then those two shows at the end of the year. Go to Axis.com to see him live and on stage. Great to see you again, my friend. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you guys so much.
The current drought is one of the most severe in California history. Be California friendly. Make conservation a way of life, and don't waste another minute wasting water. Learn more about the drought, water-saving tips, and rebates at BeWaterWise.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It rained yesterday. We're all good.
We've got mudslides and car crashes, Lisa. A little less love for the rain, thank you.
Okay, don't yell at me. Make it rain.
Here, guys, everyone says, we need the rain. We need the rain. Let's see what happens when it rains.
Well,
we don't
rain
need
more.
The rain. It causes death and destruction and mudslides and homes being lost and flooding and death and crashes and death. We don't need the rain.
Yes, Ralph, I believe you want the rain. You just want it spread out a little bit over a period of months rather than get all of it in one day.
I'm
That's
saying
the
who
problem.
Needs not- it.
Heavy rains headed towards California on Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. It's going to bring up to 30-plus millimeters of rain, especially in Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
Sounds bad. Hey, listen, we're going to talk to the first human ever, as far as we know, eaten alive by an anaconda. His name is Paul Rosalie, and he joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Does he have buns?
Doesn't say here.
Because I know my anaconda.
I've heard, yes.
Yep. Don't want none.
Mm-hmm.
Let's got buns.
Yep. I've heard that.
Hey, I should give away something here, but I completely forgot my paperwork. So can you hand me your paperwork over there? I know it's tickets for the premiere of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Yeah!
That's awesome.
It's happening December the 9th at the Dolby Theater. I've got pairs of passes to go to the premiere of this movie. If you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Five lucky winners will get passes to the premiere of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Still not happy with that.
Does not sound good.
I don't like it.
Movies in theaters everywhere on December the 17th, but you can check out Peter Jackson, his latest Middle-Earth collaboration with Ian McKellen, and Martin Freeman returns again as Bilbo Baggins. You can check that out if you call me now, 1-800-520-1067.
What's the name of it? I'm sorry.
The Hobbit! The Battle of the Five Armies! That was better.
A little better.
That's great goddamn radio.
Thank you. Speaking of movies, big nerd news yesterday. Big nerd news. DC and Warner Brothers announced
the ensemble cast of their upcoming Suicide Squad movie. Suicide Squad, of course.
Suicide Girls?
No. Hmm. Suicide Squad is the government-run agency populated completely by convicted criminals who are promised the release if they complete a mission which will more than likely end up in their death.
Okay. Right.
The Suicide Squad. So it's all bad guys working together to do a good thing. It's like the Dirty Dozen, if you ever saw that movie.
Didn't.
Magnificent Seven?
Just keep moving.
All right.
You're barking up the wrong tree here.
Here's your cast. Cara Delevingne as the Enchantress.
Oh,
Enchantress. Jai Courtney as Boomerang, a.k.a. Captain Boomerang. Don't take the captain off my Boomerang. Just call him Boomerang, you cowards. Boomerang. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Tom Hardy as Rick Flagg. Will Smith is Deadshot. Why do I got to put Will Smith in my movie? Why you got to do that to me?
You don't think he's capable of?
He's fine. Yeah, they'll put
good acting anymore. I know it's been kind of eclipsed by his bizarre celebrity life,
but there's been a lot of bad performances too, even before the bizarre celebrity life.
Okay,
but he'll be fine as Deadshot. But Deadshot's just such a great character. Just Floyd Lawton, you know, Lawton, one of our favorites.
I don't know who any of those people are.
But the big news, of course, was the casting of the Joker, who will be the ringleader.
Dwan from Los Angeles, California.
Suicide Squad. Dwan just got edged out as the Joker. Jared Leto is going to be the Joker in the new film.
Now, I'm, along with a lot of people, I famously said when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker in the Chris Nolan movie, I said, whoever is going to follow Jack Nicholson as the Joker? The Joker's already been done. That's been played.
Right.
What else can you do with that character that's ever going to be better?
Only 100% wrong on that 100%
one. Wrong, because Then Heath Ledger gave one of the greatest performances in all of cinema. So while I wouldn't want to be the guy who has to now be the Joker, let's wait and see how Jared Leto does. He's a great actor.
I think
Leto's
sure
great
casting. I think he's great casting for the Joker.
I feel like he could play anything.
He is more spot on, especially physically and in demeanor, than any actor up to this point, really, as Joker. He is wiry. He is thin. He's got those manic eyes. I'm sure the makeup will be amazing. I think he's an excellent choice.
He'll do his own thing with it.
My bad vibe about the whole thing is, why do you waste that Joker in this film?
Oh, interesting.
I would much rather see a new Batman film where Batman goes up against the Joker rather than burning him off in the Suicide Squad. But this may be just an introductory role, and then he will come in and do more work in the Justice League films or something. You know, they're starting to intertwine them all, so we may see Batman versus the Joker yet again. But certainly some star power in that film. Speaking of movies, don't forget, tomorrow morning, 3 a.m., get up and log into 007.com to find out the title of the new James Bond movie.
You're saying
the answer is no.
You're saying Thursday morning at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Pacific time, yes. We'll all be up at our computers learning the title of the James Bond movie.
But
hell no!
Yes, you will.
Will it be available when I get to work at 5:30?
Maybe, maybe not. Are you willing to take that chance?
Yes. Yes, I am.
No, I'm not. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Seyfried. Lovely and talented. She can do it all. She can sing, she can dance, she can act. She was in A Million Ways to Die in the West. I got to know her a little bit on the set of that. And Ted, too. 29 years old today. Anna Chomsky from Veep. Soon to be seen on Broadway in You Can't Take It With You. She's 34 years old. Brendan Fraser is 46. Julianne Moore is 54 years old today. Unbelievable. She's a stunning 54. I got to
say. She sure is.
Daryl Hannah is 54. She used to be a fish. Did you know that? At one time in her life, she was a fish.
I think that was just a movie
I
role.
Saw a documentary where they had to take off her tail.
Just a movie role.
Ozzy Osbourne turned 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First thing this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got a phone call from New York from The Edge. Guitarist for the band U2 had some interesting things to talk to us about, including this comment about his good friend Bono.
He's so upset about the fact that, unfortunately, as we're about to announce, we're not going to be able to do the acoustic Christmas because he's been told by his doctors he's got to stay put. He's back in Dublin right now, and he's basically got to, you know, he can't move for the next couple of months.
Quitter.
So that kind of sucks, but also was sort of anticipated.
Well, we were all hoping for the best. We were hoping, you know, the injuries weren't as bad as they were and that he'd have a quick and speedy recovery and be able to join us on the 14th, but that is not going to happen. You get all the details. You can hear the entire interview with The Edge at KROQ.com or KevinBean.com. That's up there now, and we'll replay it for you here on the radio next hour. First, though, let's look ahead toward this Sunday night at 9 on the Discovery Channel for this show.
That's the largest species of snake on Earth.
Anaconda! Right there! Gotcha! Gotcha! Oh, my God! That's massive!
We're going to get in the inside of a snake. We're going to make me as appealing as possible so the snake just says, well, I got this big thing here. I might as well get a free meal. You have to go head first.
Eaten Alive premieres Sunday, December 7th. Part of Mega Week on Discovery.
You have to go head first.
Nope.
You have to go head first, though, right?
I'm saying nope is what I'm saying. The man who will be eaten alive by an anaconda on our TV this Sunday night is named Paul Rosalie. He joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Paul, how are you, man?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
Well, good. I would never, ever in my life say the words anaconda followed by get it. That seems like a bad mixture right there.
What are you doing, Paul? What's going on here, buddy?
Well, if you want the actual answer,
yes,
it's actually rooted in the fact that I've worked in the Amazon for 10 years, and it's like the Wild West down there. I mean, the Wild West mixed with Avatar. I mean, the place is incredible. And, of course, it's a very important system, and anacondas are a very important part of that system. And when you watch it get burnt down every day, it kills you. And it's definitely a problem that we can all solve, but it's still happening again and again. And I want people to know what's going on so we can get more support to protect the habitat of the anaconda, which is the Amazon. So we cooked up this idea.
I was going to say, now,
we're missing the bridge between saving the rainforest and being eaten by a snake.
You just said two random things.
Yeah, right.
Unrelated.
No, the thing is, you know, through Discovery, you know, by doing something like this that's never been done before, you know, you're sort of preying on people's worst nightmare, a giant snake eating a person. You're touching on, is it possible? You're also touching on, you know, the Discovery Channel, through them, we started the first ever study of anacondas in their natural environment. We're doing a massive fundraiser to protect the habitat of the Amazon. So there really is, you know, and look, when's the last time that the whole world was talking about the Amazon and anacondas? And I mean, since this thing came out, since they leaked that little 30-second trailer a few weeks ago, I mean, the whole world blew up. I mean,
there's no question. You get the world's attention when you get eaten by a snake. We all get that. How big is this snake? 20 feet plus?
This one is about 19 and a half feet, so just under 20.
What can anacondas that size eat normally?
Well, in the Amazon, some of the big prey that anacondas eat is deer. They eat the largest rodent on Earth, capybara. They eat crocodiles. We have black caiman and speckled caiman in the Amazon. There's really nothing in their environment that they can't handle.
Why have they never eaten a human before, as far as we know, Paul?
Well, here's the thing. It's technically not confirmed, but I run an ecotourism company, and my cook, her father was actually eaten by an anaconda.
What?
Yeah, so I mean, you're more likely to win the lottery. It's a very, very rare occurrence. Anacondas do not consider people as part of their prey usually, but this is an animal that hunts with the heat pits in the front of its face. So when it senses a big mammal right near it, which a human could be, especially if someone was bending down by the riverside, the Amazon is a very competitive ecosystem. Any food opportunity has to be taken, and for an animal like an anaconda, a predator, you know. Sometimes that, you know, the two paths cross, especially if the person is on the smaller side, it's very possible.
Now, you seem very knowledgeable, of course, about the Amazon and about the snake. What about all of the backlash of this can't be good for the snake?
Well, you know, I've worked with the species for years and years, and I've worked with snakes since I was a little kid. And when you work with snakes in places like Borneo and India and Brazil, you see that people are terrified of snakes. They kill them. In the U.S., we've exterminated rattlesnakes from a lot of areas. And the truth is that snakes actually keep rodent populations down, which controls disease. It also helps protect crops. So snakes actually are doing a lot of services for us, but we're scared of them. So, you know, for me, educating people about snakes and you know, taking care of snakes. I'm working to protect their habitat in the Amazon. So I would.
But
I
Paul,
would
never... how is us watching a snake eat a human going to make us less afraid of snakes?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's all about how you do it. You know, you can see when I approach this snake, it's not an animal that turns to me and it's like, get over here, I'm going to eat you. The snake you'll see in the show is actually like trying to get away. The first response of I've caught hundreds of anacondas for the study that I do, and every single one of them, even the monsters, even the big ones, they try to escape first. They always take flight over fight. So when I was in the suit, I actually had to go up and kind of convince the anaconda that I was a predator before it would defend itself.
Eat me, eat me.
That kind of makes
exactly.
me sad. I don't like that.
Like Men in Black, eat me.
but I mean, is there a little bit of look? There's no question, and you know, anyone can look at your background and see that you have a deep love for nature, and you dedicated your life to that. But there is a little bit of we're exploiting an animal for entertainment here, isn't it? That animal would have had a better day had it not found you that day, right, Paul?
Well, I do disagree. The thing is, again, I would never do it if we would physically harm the snake in any way. So if you move that to the side, in the wild, let's just say you have an anaconda and it's in the middle of eating a deer and another predator walks up, let's say a jaguar.
Right.
The anaconda has to throw up that meal. So they regurgitate quite frequently. So
okay.
What we were doing was actually nothing that's outside the boundaries of something that could happen to a snake on a normal day. If, you know, assuming that we were successful going into this, we said even if the snake does strike, does constrict, and if she does start eating me, then the snake still hasn't done anything. We still haven't forced the snake to do anything.
Right.
And the snake hasn't done anything that these snakes don't do on a normal day in the wild. So
what was your backup plan if you couldn't get out, if something had gone wrong? How were they going to extract you? I know there's a lot of stuff you don't want to say until we see it on Sunday Night on Discovery, but can you tell us that at least?
Yeah, absolutely. We worked very carefully with a lot of experts on this. And we did a few things. First, you know, we had herpetologists, which is reptile experts, on site to make sure that they could handle, you know, without me or with me incapacitated or possibly inside the snake, I wouldn't be able to handle the snake. So they were there to watch out for that. But the suit was built out of carbon fiber, extremely strong. I had an internal breathing system, but we made sure that the hoses couldn't be bent or crushed. So we knew that no matter what, I would be fine. And as long as I'm fine, then the snake will be fine. Because no matter what, even if I made it inside, then as long as my life isn't in danger, there's no reason for us to have to do anything quickly. There's no reason for anybody to have to rip me, pull me out of the snake.
Right.
Everything
right.
was, you know, very carefully considered.
But if you're in there, are you yelling, hey, a little help?
It didn't sound like he was afraid. It sounded like he expected to go in there, stay in there for a couple of minutes, and then extract, right? I mean, it went according to plan, it sounds like.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, for me, you know, you're attempting something that's never been done before. And I mean, I'm so fascinated by these snakes. They're just so big and powerful and beautiful. And to go up with one of the most impressive predators on the planet and just let that thing have its way with you. I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. The power of those snakes is incredible.
Did you, and we got to let you go here in a second here, Paul, but we're talking about the Discovery Channel special, Eaten Alive, this Sunday night at 9. Did you at any time try to convince Nicki Minaj to be the one who was eaten by the snake? Because that would have just blown up the internet if you could have done that.
Well, actually, you know, the first snake we tried this on, we tried playing the song to the snake before we did the event, and the snake actually ran away and never came back.
Yeah.
So.
Snakes don't like her. That's what I've heard.
All right. Well, Paul, I'm glad you're okay, and I hope we'll find out if we watch the show Sunday night that the snake is okay, too. It is called Eaten Alive, Discovery Channel Sunday Night 9. We appreciate the time, though. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Good talking to you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Paul. What's it like to write a song with the Killers? We know a guy who just did it. Jimmy Kimmel joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, hit it, Steve. Miss Double
already,
December. What?
Already
what
do
we
it.
Have?
Hit it.
You already
before
hit it.
Said hit it. Sorry.
Miss Double December 2015. Time to meet another contestant, shall we?
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Giant-sized
She's
hand.
An angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Yeah!
We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
We
Miss Double December.
We don't
crowner.
Have a winner.
We don't have a winner yet.
Crown her right now. She's going to be at the pageant on Friday where we will name a winner.
That'd be sweet if I didn't listen every morning and know that you say that to all the other contestants.
She's calling you on your BSB.
See, here's the thing is the Miss Double D contestant in front of you is always the best Miss Double D contestant in the world. That's what happens is I do get blinded a little bit when pretty girls come in.
Aww.
But welcome, Jen. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's great to meet you. Thanks so much for applying to be Miss Double D. You can go and see Jen's pictures and questionnaire at Carrick.com and cast your vote every day for her if she's your choice, and she should be. I love you because you are one of the smart ones, and that's very, very sexy and very attractive to me.
Oh, well, thank you. I am pretty smart.
He says that why? You're in law school?
I am in law school.
Were you in the other room 5 minutes ago studying?
Yes. I have five finals. I had one yesterday. I have one tonight.
Oh, my God.
And then I have one tomorrow, and then I have two Monday and Wednesday of next week. So,
is this the best thing for you to be doing?
The timing is terrible.
You sound like
my mother. No, I'm good with it. I'm just asking. Maybe it's...
You know, I thought that this was the best year for me to do it, and I'm doing it full out, and I'm not... No regrets, I mean, at
All
this
right.
point.
Fantastic.
It's too late.
Tell me about the decision. I know we got a lot of ground we got to cover in just a very short time here, Jen, but bear with me with this question. Tell me about the decision to... You're going to law school because you want to be a lawyer or because it's deep background for something else you want to do?
No, I mean, I grew up acting and dancing my entire life. And when you realize that, you know, maybe it's time to start... making a career out of yourself. The law school was the first thing that I wanted to do, and I love it. And...
Hold right there. So you're having a good time, and then you realize you need a career, so you go law school.
Well, realistically speaking, acting and dancing isn't going to, you know.
Agreed.
So
that's not a long-term
plan.
But
who goes right from that to law school? You act like that's a normal reaction.
I mean, you skipped bartending, Jen. What happened?
You know what? It's so funny. My older sister went to bartending school and then went to law school.
Oh, so it's
so
in the
she
family.
Did that step first, but I didn't. I went right to the law school.
What kind of do you plan on being a lawyer? I mean, is that
the
goal?
I do.
What kind of lawyer do you want to be?
I would love to get into sports law. That's the final that I actually
have tonight. Interesting. Sports law.
I love sports. Sports.
All right, what are you going to do for Ray Rice? What's your plan?
I'm not going to defend him.
Good call.
Yeah, that's a tough question right there.
I mean, usually I would. I mean, I'm the type of person that would say, like, oh, I would... He's got a defense. I totally can. Like,
yeah, you got to be a lawyer to be. You know, if you're a lawyer, you got to see a defense in every situation. Absolutely.
Like, I would totally defend War Machine, and I know it's not a good situation.
You'd lose that case. But.
I totally would.
All right, let's change topics. Tell us how did you hear about the pageant, and what appeals to you about being Miss Double December?
Okay, well, let me preface. So, you guys announced the lineup for Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
My birthday lands on night one.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So I was waiting for tickets. I was trying to get online and I was trying to get, you know, tickets and my laptop froze. And so obviously couldn't get tickets. It sold out. And, all of my friends told me, you know, oh my gosh, last ditch effort. You should totally do Miss Double December. And I was like, no. And I've always wanted to do it. I've went to the first one at the slide bar.
Did you really?
I did.
No kidding.
Yes.
That was a drunken mess.
And it was the first, like, I think it was inside.
It was inside,
yes.
And it was a disaster in
but
every
the
way.
The girls were gorgeous.
Yes, they were.
But after that, I was like, I'm not going to wait in line. But so I've always wanted to do it. I've never had the testicular fortitude, if you will.
All right. Good enough.
To do it. And this year I said, you know what, I'm fine, I'll do it, I'll submit it. So.
Well, we have a great batch. I mean, every year I feel like we raise the bar. It's nothing we're doing, but the listeners raise the bar on who enters. I mean, you got a lot of tough competition this year, Jen.
I do, and each day that I listen and I hear them talking, I'm like, oh man, no,
she would be
all
good.
Gorgeous, and they're all beautiful
be
and
worse.
Smart and funny, and I was like, no. So.
Well, let's talk about your talent for a minute before we go, because I'm a little bit concerned that on the entry form that you filled out at Carrick.com, you said your talent is you can sing. With your mouth closed.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
It is. And it's not really ventriloquism. I don't know if I can really call it that because I puff my cheeks up. But it's just, you know, I mean, it's a quirky little talent. I changed it. I decided on the way here I'm going to dance.
Oh, you are? Okay.
So
okay.
All right. You know, Dave already gave me the flack when I came in. He was like, so about your talent.
Okay,
I'm changing it.
So if you're going to dance, then you can give us the singing with your mouth closed talent right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right now?
Yeah. Do you mind?
Yeah. No, that's fine.
How do you discover?
That is crazy, Jen.
How do you discover that you can do that? Like, what made you do that the first time?
My older sister, she's 10 years older than me, that's all she did is, like, her quirky talent. If she entered a, you know, silly competition. I was like, oh, my gosh, I need to learn how to do that.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
It certainly is. Wow. All right. You should go to krock.com right now. Online voting is open for Miss Double December 2015. You're going to be wanting to look for Jen. Vote for Jen this time around. By the way, Miss Double December not only gets to come to both nights of Acoustic Christmas in December later this month, but also to April Foolish this next year, to the Weenie Rose, the Kevin Bean Singles Parties, the Breakfast With, and Miss Double December 2015 will also be the KROQ Ambassador for the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer next September as well. Jen, we are going to see you Friday morning at the Slide Bar. Kevin, let's give some details about that real quick before we go.
Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Slide Bar in Fullerton. We start at 5:30. People tend to get there early. You need to bring a new unwrapped toy for Toys for Tots, or as we call it, Toys for Tatas, and get there early, and we're going to have the pageant the entire show on Friday. You can also watch it online if you can't.
21 and up if you're coming down. And, of course, anybody can watch at krock.com. Jen, so great to meet you. We'll see you on Friday, okay?
Thank you so much. Give
me a little bit of that theme for the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, would you please? Our next guest, of course, ABC, weeknights at 11:35 with his late-night talk show. When he's not busy hosting that or terrorizing Matt Damon, he is co-writing songs with bands like The Killers. He's, like, become the Pharrell of the music industry, the go-to guy to make a hit, Kevin. He's got this new Christmas song out called Joel the Lump of Coal. How did that happen? Jimmy Kimmel, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
It's wonderful to be back with you guys. I've been listening, and I'm so excited about Miss Double December. It sounds like such a special event.
You know what it is?
It's for the kids, Jimmy.
Was there a meeting where you guys came up with Toys for Tatas, or was that just something that popped out of Kevin's mouth?
We're sort of pretty proud of that.
Jimmy, you didn't come back after all this time just to hurt us, did you?
Well, you know, I, of course, I have to comment on some of the things that, you know, I drive around and I listen, and I, you know, in the old days, I used to get to talk to you guys about this stuff during the commercials. And
true.
I feel like I'm unwanted now.
Earlier this hour, I doubt you were up yet, but we talked to the guy who's going to get eaten by an anaconda on the Discovery.
I did hear that with Paul, yeah.
What about that guy? What do you make of that, Jims?
Oh, would imagine going on a date with him.
Oh,
no, wait, the anacondas. I had it the other way around.
Yeah, that's not.
Anyway, the reason we wanted to have you on is I personally love The Killers, and I look forward so much every year to their charity song that they put out every December 1st for World AIDS Day. And this is, I think, the ninth year in a row that they've done it. And they've just had some tremendous songs in the past, and they've collaborated with people like Elton John and Neil Tennant for the Pet Shop Boys. And this year was a little bit of a surprise that they collaborated with Jimmy Kimmel. You are the guy who co-writes and co-performs The Killers song. And I just can't get my head wrapped around how something like this came to be, Jim.
Well, this one should be easy to understand because, as you recall, in the old days, before the dawn of Miss Double December,
right,
we used to make a lot of Christmas songs for charity, you know, with that Christmas album that you guys gave up on almost immediately after I left.
Well, there was no one around to do the work anymore.
We didn't want to do it. No, we made Ralph do it for a couple of years, but then the boss wouldn't let us, you know, put it on sale or anything. So we're like, all right, forget it.
All right, because in the when we were doing it, they would tell us you have to get legal clearance for all these songs, and we'd say, it's for charity. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Anyway, but... Yeah.
So you have a long history of enjoying Christmas music.
Exactly. You may remember Christmas Time in the LBC, a beloved hit.
Love it.
And so The Killers...
But this is The Killers, Jimmy.
Brandon called me, and we're both from Las Vegas, and I know those guys well, and asked if I would be a part of it. And, of course, you know, I love making those Christmas songs. It's really a challenge because there are a billion Christmas songs in you. There's not much left to write about, but I wanted to make one like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I started thinking about a lump of coal and how the coal gets sent to live with the bad kids and how unfair that kind of is.
Well, really, that is an angle there's not a lot of songs about.
By the way, Santa's a real son of a bitch if you think about it.
I mean, he's awfully judgmental.
Not only is he not giving you gifts, he's making it look like there are gifts in the stocking, and then you get there and it's coal.
Yeah,
wow,
what an asshole. Is a dick. You're right.
It's really awful.
You got to go to Jimmy Kimmel Live's website or Kerrick.com. We put the video up as well and see the beautiful claymation video that you did for this, which is great. And also, you pitched a bunch of ideas to the Killers that didn't fly before you arrived on the lump of coal. You pitched the very YOLO Christmas. That didn't go over.
They didn't know what YOLO was.
They didn't? What?
Yeah, the Killers had never heard YOLO before.
I was surprised to see that. I also was a little disappointed they didn't bite on your grandma getting run over, not by a reindeer, but in this case run over by the family who's waiting in line on Black Friday to buy a Blu-ray player or something like that for $18. I thought that had a lot of potential as a hit, too.
That one, maybe next year we'll put that one together.
Oh, you got a backlog of ideas.
Joel the Lump of Coal is the name of the song that Jimmy does with the Killers. And I saw your tweet yesterday where at one point on the iTunes holiday chart, it was Mariah Carey number one, Jimmy and the Killers number two, and the Ariana Grande Christmas song number three. How's it shaking out this morning? Did you check first thing, Jim?
I just did check it because I'm obsessed with beating Mariah Carey, who, by the way, I think blew off the Today Show and just didn't show up for their performance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so even more reason for us to rally around and get us. We are at number two, still behind Mariah Carey, and it would be great to have a number one holiday song.
If you don't mind my asking, how far behind are you?
I don't know. They don't say. It just says number one and number two.
Okay, so it could be one.
Mariah Carey doesn't need the money, all right? The money from the purchase of Joel the Lump of Coal with the Killers and Jimmy Kimmel goes directly to the World AIDS Day charity, the Red Charity. So it seems like that's an easy decision.
You realize that this song could cure AIDS. Well, Mariah Carey's song is definitely not going to cure AIDS.
Mariah Carey's song could cause AIDS. That's what I'm saying. I'm going a step further, Jimmy.
It's double AIDS.
All right, let's hear a little piece for folks who haven't caught it yet. Let's hear a little piece of this new smash
this
Christmas
is Brad
sensation.
Singing, by the this way, is not me.
Not you, right? Joel the Lump of Coal, but I do believe we have a little Jimmy cameo at the end here.
Joel the Lump of Coal, happy as a lump can be. He just wants to keep Santa warm and make the elves cozy. But Santa Claus had other plans for Joel one fateful day.
Joel, you're just a lump I need. Come join me on my sleigh.
He still got it, ladies and gentlemen. He still got it. Go to iTunes and buy the song for charity. And let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Kimmel, before we let you go, and that is, it is the most wonderful time of the year, and I know you have connections. Would you put in a call to your good friend Santa Carl and see if he's around this holiday season?
As a matter of fact, I already called Santa Carl, and while he was upset that he was not included in the Joel the Lump of Coal song,
right,
he has agreed to come to K-Rock.
Oh, that's great news.
Talk to all the little girls and boys, and I believe that'll be in two weeks, yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah! That's fantastic. That's always great news when we hear Santa Carl is coming to town. That's great. Hey, congratulations on the song, man. Great work, and thanks for joining us.
Congratulations on the Toys for Tatas, guys.
Thank you. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Kimmel was throwing a little shade at Toys for Tatas there, you guys.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about that.
And the guy who came up with Kevin and Bean gravy. Yeah, it's easy on his ivory tower up there on television to start throwing stuff. But he wasn't always, Mark Twain when it came to radio ideas either.
We do still have an entire warehouse full of Kevin and Bean gravy, too.
Exactly.
Which is
it's easy to judge when you're Mr. Television.
You guys think that's a joke, probably, but we did at one point have Kevin and Bean gravy.
Yeah. Until we ran afoul of the FDA, if you'll recall. We had to pull it back. Couldn't give it away anymore.
That was a thing.
Hey, next half hour, not only do we talk
Honk
to our friend
meat.
Adam.
Wasn't that his, too? Honk for Meat?
I think it might have been,
yeah.
I believe it was.
Yeah. I love Honk for Meat. I missed that.
I'm sure you do. Well, you love Toys for Tatas. So it's all the same is what I'm saying.
All right. Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour, and then we'll re-air for you the interview we did earlier this morning with The Edge from U2 explaining why, sadly but not unexpectedly, the band will not be able to perform at KRock.com.
But that's all
coming up in the next half hour.
Planning on doing that here in the Showbiz Bee, but I guess I'll call an audible.
Okay. That's your call, man. It's your call if you want to.
No, I just was told earlier on that's why I was getting the clips, because I was going to do that in the show.
Well, that was for last hour. That was going to tide us over in between the airings of the whole interview with the end.
Ah, see? No one knows.
Sorry about that. Sorry for the miscommunication.
Calling a variable.
Yes.
Manning calling a variable. Not hiking the goddamn ball.
Audible.
An audible.
Not a variable.
Good enough.
I'd say that a lot, but it's still audible.
Yeah.
All right.
Omaha.
Some touchdown passes. Being Thomas. Most of it being Thomas. After, but instead, the ball was moved.
That was a great moment in NFL history, wasn't it?
And much better tape than I just played.
No. Yours was
much higher quality.
Yours was good. Well, all the things Jimmy Kimmel could pick on about this show, he hits those potatoes.
How about Kevin's choice of audio clips? Maybe that's the thing he had to point out.
Maybe that should have been singled.
You want to close with the Britney Spears clip before we're out of time here, Kevin?
I'd rather not.
I'll just fill that in for you. There we go. Everyone relax. Anderson Cooper is fine. He is fine.
I didn't hear there was something wrong.
Everyone was upset because he was missing. From CNN, he had an emergency appendectomy last Sunday night. Initially, he thought he had swallowed something bad and gotten some food poisoning while covering the Ferguson protests. But when he got home to the Big Apple, he turned out that that colon problem he had was actually an inflamed appendix. They had to take it out. But he's out. And he's better, and all is well. So everyone relax. It's all good.
He's okay. Happy to hear that.
Well, we all are.
I like Anderson Cooper.
I do, too.
Now, imagine you're staying at the W Hotel here in Hollywood, California.
Okay.
Not here in Hollywood. We're not currently in Hollywood, California.
No.
We're nearby Hollywood,
we're California. Compton adjacent.
Sunday night, you're there, and it's jazz night there at the club. At the W, and there's some jazz band, you know, putting out the jazz like they do. And a little man comes up and says, I want to play too. Can I play with you guys? And they say, sure. Come on up on stage, Prince.
Oh my God.
What? Are you kidding me?
Why don't you play a little music with us? So Prince straps on his guitar, and they launch into the Joe Cocker version of the Beatles classic song With Little Help From My Friends, which he also sings. And apparently crushes it.
That's weird.
Now, that's weird. But imagine what's weirder. If you're in the audience watching some jazz at the W, and then Prince gets up on stage in this tiny little club and just knocks a Beatles classic out of the park.
Right.
Then drops the mic and just takes off. And that, you have that forever. You own that.
Yeah.
That's your moment. That's your story you tell to friends for the rest of your life.
You do have the best story
forever.
Anyway,
I'm at the W. You know the W there? Well, what's it? Cahuenga? Is that Vine? Is it on Vine? I think it's Vine. So I'm at the W, and you know we're getting a cocktail in the jazz lounge, listening to some guy playing some Lionel Hampton on the vibraphone. And next thing I know, bang! Prince.
Yeah. He wins. Those people
win. That guy wins.
Yeah.
We just should do a phone-in topic of what is your moment that you own. You were in the crowd when something happened spectacular with a celebrity or something that makes you win. Because the only thing I have close to that is, and this was back in the day when he was the biggest comedian in the world, was selling out Madison Square Garden. Some friends had come out to visit me. I just moved to Los Angeles, and some friends come out to visit me, and they said, let's go to that place, the comedy store. What's that place? I said, oh, yeah, that's a famous comedy club on Sunset. Let's go out there. So we got there. It's like a Tuesday, and there's about 12 people in the audience, and Andrew Dice Clay got up on stage. He wasn't supposed to be there, unannounced, and just did a half an hour of just the funniest, filthiest stuff you'd ever seen. Just crushed it. And we were all just looking at each other like, can you believe it? Because this is like, you may not remember, there was a moment where he was white hot.
He was the biggest thing
biggest
in the world.
The biggest comedian in the world.
Yeah. Cover Rolling Stone, the whole deal.
The whole nine yards.
Yep.
And to see him at that moment in his time,
that's pretty
unexpectedly, strong. Was a pretty strong moment. So that's my Prince at the W moment.
It's not quite as good.
Not quite as good at all.
But
well,
it's
not
close.
As long lasting. At the moment, it was better.
Okay, at the moment it was, yes.
At the moment, I ruled every party with that story. And then it, as time went on, it diminished and diminished. And now I've never
heard that story.
That story.
Yeah.
But there was a moment. So there has to be moments where you like that. Where you're someplace or you're in a restaurant and there's a piano there in the corner and suddenly Elton John sat down and started tinkering something, right?
A surprise, though. It can't be
something. It's got to be unexpected. It's folks you'd never expect to see somebody. Stephen Hawking at a swingers party. I mean, there has to be moments like in people's lives where you were just taken completely surprised by a celebrity.
My wife has a story that she loves to tell. That was a great
ice cream in the face from
Ray Parker Jr. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Sure. That was a surprise.
That moved down to number two because she was at an airport once a few years ago and ended up in the lounge sitting next to and sharing gummy bears with and having a long conversation with her new best friend, the Dalai Lama.
What the what?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
what?
That's her story that she still can't believe happened. It still blows her mind.
Dalai Lama gummy bears, by the way. Saw them last night at the
True. By the way, story will always win.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
If it's a Dalai Lama and you're having gummy bears.
Jesus and I shared a steak at Ruth's Chris the other night. I mean, that's a
great idea for a phone topic, and I bet our listeners have a lot of their stories as well.
Yeah. Surprise celebrity moments on the next Geraldo.
I don't think Geraldo is still a thing, is it?
I don't think it is either. Today's celebrity birthday is Ozzy Osbourne, 66 years old today. Daryl Hannah is 54. Julianne Moore, also 54 years old today. Brendan Fraser turns 46. Anna Chomsky celebrates her 34th birthday. And Amanda Seyfried celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Alexis Andrade from Los Angeles. Highly unlikely that's correct, the way I said it.
Nope.
Just got tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 2.
That's a pretty good guess based on how it's spelled. I don't know that name. I don't know how else I'd attempt it. Andrade? Andrade?
Andrade.
Oh, it could be Andrade. Good one, Muggs.
No, it's not that.
All right. Hey, a few minutes ago we talked to Jimmy Kimmel on the phone. I don't know why we just didn't keep the line open and have him hand the phone to Adam Carolla. They're still living together, I bet. The Ace Man is going to be on stage Thursday, December 11th at the Grove of Anaheim. Tickets available through AdamCarolla.com. And the next night doing his holiday podcast at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. Again, AdamCarolla.com. Hey, Ace Man, how's it going, dude?
Hey, can I give you guys a quick pet peeve on the name department?
Sure. Please.
You know when someone has a unique name and you go, is it pronounced Andrade? And they pause and they go, Andrade. And you go, isn't that what I said?
Isn't that what I just said?
The appropriate answer would be yes, asshole.
Yes, that's right.
Repeating it again in a condescending way that makes me think I mispronounced the first time I said it right. Why do people do that all the time?
Don't make it more awkward than it already is what you're saying.
If the answer is yes, then just say yes. Don't repeat it again, because now I walk away going, well, what'd I say?
Excellent point, as always. Adam joins us. It's pronounced Adam, right?
It's Adam.
Okay, that's what I was hoping for. He joins us every week about this time for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, starting at number three, work my way up to number one. Thanksgiving etiquette, people. I run into this every year. I have a new rule that's going to solve all our problems. We did it at my house this year. We had about 20 people over to the house, half of them, 75 plus. And I don't know why my mom and stepdad think it's a good idea to show up 42 minutes early to everything.
Right.
But they don't realize that that's the time, like when you're wife is cooking for 22 people, the call time is 5 o'clock, and you show up at 4:19. All you do is get to be privy to this conversation between me and my wife in the kitchen, which is, what do you mean Trader Joe's doesn't have ice? Of course they have ice. That's the first thing they have. What do you have to go to Ralph's and Trader Joe's for? Go to Trader Joe's. They have ice. Well, by the way, why don't we have ice? You should have got ice yesterday. No, I'm not going to call my stepmom and tell her to get ice. That's what you get. You you get that conversation and, the bottle open. Nothing's open. Yeah, let me open a bottle of something. What do you want? Pinot Grigio? That's what you get.
Yeah, and then you can't find the bottle open.
There's no excuse for ever showing up to a social event early, is there?
Especially Thanksgiving. Has there ever been a situation, Mom, if you're listening, where the call time was 5 o'clock and you walked in at 5:09 and we're all leaning back from the dinner table with our belts undone with the turkey been picked clean? Whoa, you missed it. We got one of those honey baked hams, too, but that's all gone. Well, maybe next year. Or maybe some pecan pie left. We'll have to check.
So Thanksgiving Day, what's your rule?
The rule is if you live closer than 40 minutes drive, and my mom does in North Hollywood, from my house, you leave at the call time. If the call time is 5, you just leave at 5.
Build in a little extra time.
Yes, you don't give yourself an hour to travel 18 minutes and then show up. All right, because then it's nothing more than a conversation in the kitchen about ice and Ralph's and Trader Joe's. All right, number two. Rain. Oh, it's been raining and raining and more rain and more rain. And every year this happens when it rains. The man still gets back on the blower and still says, you know, we're still in the middle of one of the worst droughts we've had in 22 years. This rain is not impacting the drought whatsoever. So don't. By the way, I don't know which. I don't have a celebration where I go, well, drought's over. Let's just go ahead and run the shower when we're not home. I don't change gears. So now that we have a bunch of the same stuff that we're missing falling from the sky, I can just go ahead and run the sink in the tub and I'll just go ahead and we'll go to Catalina and just keep let everything run.
Yeah, there's no celebration of that. You're right.
But also, listen, government, don't give me this BS that just because it's been raining nonstop for 4 days, that has not impacted the drought whatsoever. Forget about water for a second. What if I just replaced water with cocktail weenies? What if we said, look, we're running dangerously low on cocktail weenies, and then I said, they've been falling from the sky for the last 4 days straight nonstop. Would you still come back and say we're still short on cocktail weenies?
I think you'd be hard-pressed to do that.
You would. Yeah. I'd call you a liar,
yeah,
sir.
You'd say step outside and grab one.
Everybody, take a nice 40-minute bath today.
I'm not sure that's what we're saying.
Enjoy it. You've earned it.
All right. And my last, boy, this is going to be a killer show. Maybe for Spike. I don't know. Comedy Central. I'll have to figure it out. But Bean, I was up in your neck of the woods 10 days ago.
Yeah, I remember. We didn't get together.
Yeah, it was awesome not seeing the wife and pigs. And I found out through our mutual friend Luke Burbank that your mayor in Seattle, instead of pardoning the turkey this year, he pardoned tofurkey.
Yes, that is, unfortunately, that is the blight of the city around the world. Yes, that is true.
There is a new leader in the clubhouse in the city pussy battle. And
what?
I think Seattle has gone to the top of the tote board, right?
First of all, pardoning the turkey is stupid.
It is stupid. Right? It's a terrible tradition that needs to end, but you're taking it one step further to start pardoning tofu.
All I'm saying is I got an idea for a TV show called Holy S, What Happened with John Wayne's reanimated corpse. And he's drunk. And I just bring back a drunken Duke, and I just sit him there, and I go, you know what's going on in 2014, John? He's like, what? The mayor of Seattle just pardoned a tofurkey. And he'd be like, what the F's a tofurkey? And he'd throw his bottle of Jim Beam down on the ground and start screaming. And then I'd yell, oh, and by the way, this broad just got tossed off a plane for flying with an emotional support pig. And he'd be beside himself. He'd be throwing his hat down. He'd be screaming at me. I'd have to explain a bunch of stuff like the Kardashians to him. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
No. It would be a great show. I would love to watch it. But you know what? One day back, reanimated, he would beg to be put to death again. The Duke would not want to live in this America at all, Adam.
He'd be part of it. He'd be part of it. Him begging to take this six-shooter from my holster and put a bullet in my head. And I'd go, why don't you do it yourself, pussy? And he'd go, I'm going to hell if I do that.
I think you're right. I think at the end of Catch a Contractor, I think that's the next show you need to do. I love it. All right, live holiday podcast. It's that time of year again to see Adam Carolla on stage at the Grove of Anaheim on Thursday, December 11th. Tickets are available at adamcarolla.com. Same place to go for the next night, Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. Hey, man, we really enjoyed talking to you, Adam. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
This thing in my face.
In my defense, it's broken.
Uh-huh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
In our defense, you're broken.
947. It's tough to argue.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
All right.
What?
I didn't want to have to do this, but I'm going to have to do this.
Uh-oh.
Just do it.
I don't like the sound
I'm
of this.
I'm going to try to ignore you over
cannot.
There.
I take it. Mike will not stay
his
up.
His microphone won't stay up. It's, right. His microphone finally, after all these years,
it's just said nope.
It's just revolting. It's like, you know what? If you're going to keep spewing nonsense into me, I'm just going to stop working.
F you, it's saying to me.
As well it should.
All right.
I tried to, you know, live my life. I wanted just to go about my business and just try to mutually ignore Taylor Swift.
Yeah, me too.
She left me alone. I leave her alone.
Same.
But now
what's going on with my T-Swizzle?
Now she drew first blood. Now I'm in. Now I have to get a secret identity and start a war. I have to get a costume.
It's on.
And she has to become my arch nemesis, and now we have to be pitted against each other for all time.
Look, I love Taylor Swift, as you secretly do, but if you didn't like her, it would be very difficult to avoid her at this time in life with as much as is going on with her, with her album and tour and everything.
But I just said, look, live and let live. Let her be awful over there, and I'll be awful over here, and we'll just be awful in different places.
Yeah, the two worlds don't have to mix.
Right, but now she's crossed the lines, what she's done. First of all, they filmed the Victoria's Secret fashion show last night that will air on December the 9th on CBS.
Yeah.
Last night it was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bad enough that she has to pollute up that wonderful hour of programming by appearing on it and singing her insipid pop music.
Ugh.
But this
so far,
year,
so good. So far,
this
I love it.
Year, she put on lingerie and walked the red carpet.
What?
Or the walkway, rather. Alongside other Victoria's Secret models, which, by the way, not a good choice on Taylor Swift's part. If anything, I would have them clear the stage first before she tried to get out there in lingerie and a robe.
She's got Justin Bieber's body.
She's got Manute Bol's body is what she's got. She's got pipe pleater arms and elbows and legs. She looks like the balloon thing outside the car dealership. Just floating all around there doing nothing. Against real women. Next to real women.
That are some of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yes, and statuesque and shapely. Versus her stick bug persona. Stick bug in a robe is what she looks like.
Look, I think Taylor's very pretty, but she does not compare favorably on a stage with 20 Victoria's Secret models.
That's maybe not
the best look.
Bad enough.
Wait, that's not it?
She's effing up that show.
Agreed, that's enough.
Wait. You wait for this.
But that's enough.
Wait for it. Last year, remember, she was also on the show. Remember last year?
Yeah.
And the lovely and talented and beautiful Victoria's Secret model Jessica Hart went on record saying, God bless her heart. I think she's great regarding Taylor Swift. But I don't know. To me, she didn't fit. I don't know if I should say that. Hardly a major insult.
Right.
But apparently enough for Taylor Swift, who reportedly had her banned from the show this year.
How is Taylor Swift making demands on that show?
She, in order to exchange for her appearance, requested the company cut Jessica Hart from the annual fashion show. Swift performed. Well, Hart sat the event out.
Oh, you.
Wow. We had a management person involved with a guest recently here at the Kevin and Bean Show that we banned from the studio. Remember? Made that person wait in the lobby because we didn't want to work with them. Didn't want to see them. Had a bad experience with them in the past.
Is it kind of like that? No, because she's going into their world. That's not Taylor Swift's world. Yeah. That is Victoria's Secret's world.
Right.
She doesn't get to ban models.
Right. It'd be like that guy we banned coming in here and saying, I want Kevin out of the studio.
Right, which would be a good call, but he's not allowed to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I look, no one loves Taylor Swift more than I do. No one. I can't support banning Victoria's Secret models from anywhere they want to be.
That's right.
That's a Victoria's Secret special!
Now, Victoria's Secret says, oh no, that wasn't the reason she didn't perform. However, she's still under contract and has continued to model for the company in other venues, but behind-the-scenes story that got to the New York Daily News said Taylor Swift put the kibosh on her.
How about that?
And that is beyond the pale.
She's a bitch.
And it shan't stand. It shan't. Do you hear me? Shan't.
I hear you.
Sounds dirty, but okay.
Otherwise, you'd be questioning the use of the word shant.
I know Ralph is serious when he starts bringing out colloquialisms from the 17th century.
Right.
When I get out, I know he's mad.
When I get out my feather plume pen and start dipping it in ink to write my manifesto, that's when y'all should run.
Whatever you're doing, I'm on board with, because this is all wrong.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Ozzy Osbourne turns 66 years old today. Actress Daryl Hannah is 54. Julianne Moore turns 54 as well. Brendan Fraser turns 46. Anna Chomsky turns 34 years old. And actress Amanda Seyfried, the lovely and talented she, of course, was in Mamma Mia. Big Love is probably where I first recognized her as a major talent. She was in Mean Girls many years ago. She's been around for a long time, and she's super talented. She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. You gave us a bogus list earlier this morning about
that. Not bogus at all.
Top 10 favorite Christmas songs
popular,
of all time.
Top 10 most popular
stupid
Christmas songs.
Yeah, Last Christmas wasn't on it. Christmas Rapping wasn't on it. Do They Know It's Christmas wasn't on it.
Stop it,
BS
with Christmas Rapping.
Tomorrow morning we're going to come up with our own top 10, and you can F off with that list.
I beg to differ.
We also have a brand new internet roundup tomorrow. We have a couple of the last two Miss Double December contestants before, by the way, the pageant is on Friday, day after tomorrow, which is crazy. Jim Rome tomorrow talking sports. Dr. Drew will be on the show. And we also have tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.